Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is December 3rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia police are offering $60,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of a suspect or suspects who bludgeoned three victims to death inside a Tioga Nicetown home on Saturday.
Wow.
Police said just after 7:30 in the evening, a woman who lives in the 1900 block of West of Venango Street opened the door to her house and saw that it had been ransacked. She immediately called police. Apparently, she had left for work and then had come back just after that. So she had, I guess, surprised the people that were there. Police entered with her and three bodies were found wrapped in blankets. The Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Ross said a female victim was found on the second floor while two male victims, including a 91-year-old man, were found in the basement. Investigators said it appears that this could have been a burglary gone awry, but there were no signs of forced entry, so they do not think that it was the work of a stranger. A distraught family member said two of the victims, a man and woman in their late 50s and early 60s, were brother and sister. The 91-year-old man who owned the home was a friend of the female victim. Neighbors say the 91-year-old was a fixture on the block who took pride in his yard and his home. Ross said there were many unanswered questions. No arrests have been made and no weapons have been recovered. Police are asking any neighbors who may have seen something or anything suspicious to contact them immediately.
Horrible.
Terrible,
yeah,
right?
Horrible, yes.
President George H.W. Bush will lie in state in Washington, D.C. with a public visitation in Houston before his final resting place in College Station alongside his wife Barbara and daughter Robin. Bush's funeral will be held on December 6th at the St. Martin's Episcopal Church. The arrival ceremony will start at 4:30 on December 5th at Ellington Field and then will lie at St. Martin's Episcopal Church at 6:45. The funeral service at the church will start at 10 a.m. on Thursday. The departure ceremony will start at 11:15. Where he will then be transported by motorcade to Union Pacific Railroad Westfield Auto Facility. The train ride, which is expected to make a few stops on the way to College Station, will take about 2.5 hours. Only five other presidents have had funeral trains, with the last being President Eisenhower. This was something that President Bush wanted because he loved trains. Once the train arrives in College Station, it will be greeted by the Corps of Cadets at the library. There will be a brief service with a flyover with the missing man formation. Following the service, the family will accompany the casket to the burial site alongside his wife Barbara and daughter Robin, who died of leukemia at the age of 3. Bush will be honored in Houston on Monday at a public memorial service and will lie in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda later that evening until Wednesday morning. Bush, who served as U.S. president from 1989 to 1993, died on November 30th. He is survived by his 5 children and their spouses, 17 grandchildren and 8 great-grandchildren, and 2 of his siblings. He is preceded in death by his wife of 73 years, Barbara, his second child, Pauline Robinson, Robin Bush, and his brothers, Prescott and William Bucky Bush. His last words were, "I love you too," while speaking to his son, George Bush.
It's a life well lived.
Yes. The supply chain of food and other goods delivered to the port of Anchorage from the lower 48 has not been disrupted by the powerful earthquake that caused widespread damage to roads in the Anchorage area. The ships are coming in on schedule and the supply lines are at this point uninterrupted, Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz said Sunday at a news conference. The magnitude 7.0 earthquake rattled the state's largest city early Friday morning, swaying buildings and fraying nerves. There were no reports of death, serious injuries, or structural damage to buildings, fortunately. Roads, however, took the brunt of the damage, especially the scenic Glen Highway, the closest thing Alaska has to an interstate and links the state's largest city to suburban communities to the north. Employees who live north of Anchorage are being encouraged to take Monday off or to work from home if possible to reduce traffic. Governor Bill Walker, who leaves office at noon today, gave state workers in the Anchorage area the day off to help reduce the number of cars on the highway. Schools have also been closed in an effort to reduce traffic. Traffic has been snarled since the quake. Delays came as drivers were diverted around the road damage on temporary detours, or the highway was reduced to one lane while crews tried to reconstruct the roadway after the trembler caused sinkholes and buckled pavements. Roads aren't the only transportation worry in Alaska. About 90% of all goods sold in Alaska are delivered to the port of Anchorage, where officials have completed a preliminary damage assessment where they say everything looks okay. So that's pretty good. Two major cargo companies operate at the port. One was offloading barges as normal on Sunday, and the other company is scheduled to offload barges today after successfully testing their crane system.
It's wild. because if you saw, they had footage of the earthquake, and it went on and on and on. And it reminded me of the Good Friday earthquake, which was one from, I think, 1964. But there is a picture of a car just kind of sitting on...
I saw it.
Yeah, a piece of pavement. Yeah. Everything is collapsed around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just astonishing, the sheer power of those things.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, there were no, there weren't any deaths, no major injuries to the buildings and stuff. But those roads, I mean, they're destroyed.
Destroyed, yeah. And when we took a cruise out of Alaska, we left out of Seward. And Seward was where a tsunami came in, or a tidal wave after one of that earthquake in 64, I believe it was. And all the trees are sort of petrified up like 50, 60 feet.
Oh, really?
From where the water had come in. It's just nature like that, and its power is unbelievable.
Yeah, they have a long road ahead of them with these highways, or what they consider their highway.
Before we get into sports, you need a socket wrench or some WD-40 over there, Steve?
Yes.
I thought you were climbing under the hood.
I installed a toaster oven.
I didn't see... For three quarters of the news, I didn't see Steve's head at all because
They put the instant replays in the wrong spot.
He was rewiring his sound effect.
Preston, if I don't have my farts in the right place,
I know
choking
gets screwed.
It's not going to happen.
Totally screwed up.
So let's see if it works.
Okay, let's do sports then.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. The Eagles face their divisional rival, the Washington Redskins, tonight at the Link. The Eagles, who are 5-6 on the season, still have a chance to win the NFC East if they win four of their final five games. The Redskins, meanwhile, are in second place in the division at 6-5, but have lost two games in a row and are playing with their backup quarterback, Colt McCoy. Kickoff tonight is set for 8:15.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
The Sixers.
Yeah!
The Sixers ended their homestand with a 103-95 win over the Memphis Grizzlies last night in South Philly. Jimmy Butler scored 13 of his 21 points in the fourth quarter. Ben Simmons had 19 points and 12 rebounds on a sprained left ankle. And the Sixers are 13-1 at home and 8-2 since the Butler trade. The Sixers are on the road Wednesday night as they travel north of the border to play the best team in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors. The Flyers, who beat the Penguins in Pittsburgh on Saturday night, are off until Thursday when they return back home to face the Columbus Blue Jackets. And the Phillies are nearing a deal to acquire all-star infielder Gene Segura from the Seattle Mariners. The deal would involve multiple players, and Segura will need to waive his no-trade clause to join the Phils. According to the Seattle Times, Carlos Santana will be part of the deal to the Mariners. Segura batted .304 with 10 home runs, 91 runs, and 63 RBIs in 144 games last season, and was named an American League All-Star. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Hopefully everybody feels good. Getting ready to return to fairly normal working hours after the Camp Out for Hunger last week, which is an all-day, everyday event for us.
It is kind of weird to come off of it. Though our voices are much more intact than they've ever been, I think, right?
Yeah. Mine held up fine. I still feel a little resonant.
Yes.
But, absolutely.
Spent the weekend. You guys sound good.
Trying to get back to normal. Thank you very much, Kathy. So we will, as far as Camp Out for Hunger goes, tomorrow we are scheduled to have all of the details of totals as far as amount of food and weight and money donated. So we will be happy to present that to you. It takes a little while to get everything collected and added up.
It's kind of funny to be asked over the weekend. I was asked a number of times. And I'm like, we really don't know. You know, things are still being tabulated.
Yeah. So we will we'll find out tomorrow. So we have no idea what that is as of yet. Next thing on tap is our Christmas Miracle Live broadcast, and we will we'll start getting winners in the very, very near future, if not today, tomorrow. But it'll be Thursday, December 20th at Parks Casino inside the new Excite Center. So details on that coming up a little bit down the road, and we'll have the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. So remember to wear your ugly sweaters if you do get on board with us. We have a few guests on the program today. Comedian Joe Matarese is stopping in. He's got a comedy show coming up Saturday night at Cherokee High School. It's a fundraiser, so that's why he's doing it at a high school.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
So he'll be stopping in today. George Takei is on the program.
Love George Takei.
Sulu, of course, from Star Trek, and he is covering his Allegiance to Broadway show, which is opening nationwide on December 4th, and it's like movie theaters on December 4th and theaters nationwide December 11th, so he's great.
You are a douchebag.
Thank you, George. He'll be on later on today. And we also have a gentleman named Kevin Werbach, who is from Nick, did he go to UPenn or
he's a professor at Wharton right now. Yeah.
All right, there we go. And, he's smart.
Well, he's all about Bitcoins and so
we know nothing.
And cryptocurrency. And he's got a book out and he's going to give us a quick dumbed down version of what that's all about.
I'm curious as to find out if we know more after he's here or if we're just more confused.
We might be more confused.
Quite possible. Yeah. Both.
So he'll be on the program today as well. So we have a few things to get to. New Word of the Week prize this week. 20-mile stock car driving experience.
Wow.
Yeah, you can drive a 600-horsepower stock car on NASCAR's famous 2.5-mile super speedway at Pocono Raceway. So that is what we are giving away. Pretty sweet deal doing 20 miles. So we'll get the letter of the day at the end of the program and get you on the road to winning that this week. So those things and more are coming up on today's program. We're going to take a quick break. Come back in a second. We'll get to the stupid question and our entertainment report. So don't go too far. Be back in just a moment. You know what? Actually,
what?
I realized we didn't flip the calendar.
Oh!
We'll do that when we get back. I promise you that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind. If you get them a gift card from Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa, and there's a special offer, you can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free. All at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Holiday activity. Sorry, I was late with that.
Thank you.
Before I do the stupid question, let us flip our month on the Totally Office calendar. We say goodbye not yet. We have a month left, but this is the last time we get to turn the page in Totally Office calendar 2018, which I did a quick review of. And this was a wonderful calendar. I'm really going to miss this one. There's several reasons to enjoy this calendar as I flip through. But we have one more to go. Let's see. The month of November. Let me see here. I'm sorry. I went through all these. Was the lovely Amanda.
Yes.
And she was laying on the roulette table at the Valley Forge Casino Resort.
And then they chased her off.
Yeah, doesn't that seem so long ago?
It does. Yeah. It seems like 8 years ago.
It does. So let's turn the page. We go from Amanda to the month of December, and our final girl in the Totally Office calendar 2018 is Kendall.
Kendall!
Who is may or may not be from Glassboro, New Jersey. I'm not really sure. We kind of messed those up.
Probably not. And her name might not even be Kendall.
She was at the pool, which is a wonderful place. It's where we do the belly flop championship. But it's also a great place to hang out and, of course, lounge in the wonderful sunshine when it is sunny. And she looked great in this bikini. So flip that over if you do have the calendar, and we'll get you set for the next one coming up in a few weeks. So really happy to do that. Let's do today's stupid question. We are going to give away a $75 Amex gift card and the Flash Season 4, Arrow Season 6, Supergirl Season 3, all on DVD.
Nice.
And the question that I asked this morning of you is, a Chipotle is what type of smoked pepper? 215-263-WMMR.
Good question.
A Chipotle is what type of smoked pepper? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Call now, and we'll go through some birthdays today. Case, I'm going to save this one for last because it's a biggie.
Okay, right. I got you.
But let me go through some other ones first. It is December 3rd, and it is Amanda Seyfried's birthday today. Yeah, Amanda is 33 years old.
Just watching
today.
Mean Girls.
I haven't watched that in a long time.
She could tell the weather with her breath. You remember that?
That's right. I forgot about that. A lot of other great movies that she's been in. Mamma Mia, Dear John. I think she was in the studio to promote Dear John. When we had her.
Oh, here. Yeah, with Channing Tatum?
That's correct.
Yeah. Is that who that was? And then Les Miserables.
Yeah.
So she's 33 today. Janet Dewan, speaking of Channing Tatum, that's his ex-wife. She is also an actress. Do I know anything she's been in?
She's probably a big fan of Stomp the Yard.
Oh, okay. No, she was Step Up.
Step Up. And, Step Up and Stomp the Yard.
And then she's in Supergirl as well?
Yeah, well, she was in Supergirl for a couple of episodes, and she was really good.
All right, so they're no longer a couple, but they remain amicable.
They do. And Sakaiable.
Yep, she's 38 today. Then we have Brendan Fraser celebrating his 50th birthday today.
Now, he's back. He's got a role in a series. I don't know if it's aired yet. I think it's also based on the Getty kidnapping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It's a dramatic role, and I think he's now moved over Preston into that. I'm just going to be an actor and not a leading man.
I was having a hard time on Saturday night deciding what to watch, and I was just
scrolling. Which Brendan Fraser movie to watch?
Well, no, but Extraordinary Measures was up. It showed up on my screen on, I don't know if it was Netflix or whatever it was, but we had him in studio to promote that movie.
Really?
I think that was the one that we had him in studio to promote. He's kind of a weird guy.
He's goofy. He is goofy, yeah.
So 50 today. Julianne Moore, the actress, is 58 today.
Still very attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
She was in The Fugitive, and she had most of her role cut out. She was played a doctor in the ER, and there was supposed to be a romance between her and Harrison Ford in that movie, and then they decided really it had no place in the movie. It didn't make any sense.
Slowed it down, they said.
No sense. Yeah, so they slowed down the pacing. All of that out, and her role as a result was greatly reduced.
Yeah, she's that may have been one of her first.
I think it was
roles.
You know, it was one of her first roles was in. I think isn't she in Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
Oh, I don't know.
Rebecca De Mornay is.
Yeah,
that.
I think she's Rebecca De Mornay's friend.
Okay,
check that out, Nick.
Maybe you're right, Steve. Yeah, she played Marlene Craven.
Yes, Marlene Craven.
Boogie Nights and The Hours and Hunger Games. She is 58 today. Daryl Hannah has her birthday. She is 58 years old today. Currently married to Neil Young. Yeah. Recently it was made official. They've been together for years.
Look, honey, I made your breakfast.
Lots of great movies through the years with her as well. The Kill Bill movies, of course. Steel Magnolias, Splash, and so on.
She was excellent in the Kill Bill movies.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought she overdid a little bit.
The whole movie's overdone.
I know.
Holly Marie Combs, who was on Charmed, is 45. Katarina Witt, the German Olympic gold medal figure skater.
Was in Playboy, wasn't she?
I believe you're correct about that, Steve. Yeah, she's 53 today. And then last but not least, we have a big birthday. It is the 70th for... Ozzy Osbourne is 70 years old today. We'll get into some more of the detail and his birthday and his thoughts about turning 70 when we get to music news later on this morning.
Just as I was walking back into the studio, looked at the autograph that he left for Pierre, and that was probably 2002 that he was here. And all it says is, Pierre, you are great.
You are great.
Well, he is a man of many words. You know what he does every year on his birthday, Preston? He kind of likes to push it a little bit. He'll ride an escalator.
No way.
Whoa. Look, I'm flying.
There was a time where I was really into Ozzy's solo stuff. He really did have a great group of musicians, and it was really pushing boundaries for its time.
Oh, yeah.
And still holds up to this day. Songs like Crazy Train and I Don't Know, and there's a bunch of really good ones. So.
And you will not find a bigger Beatles fan. He is a massive Beatles fan.
He is a Beatles fan. So he's 70 today. Happy birthday to Ozzy Osbourne. I was even going to answer this question. What type of smoked pepper is a Chipotle? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Brian, a Chipotle is a smoked what?
It is a jalapeno.
That is correct. Hang on a second, my man. Got that right. We are going to give you a $75 Amex gift card and the Flash Season 4, Arrow Season 6, Supergirl Season 3 on DVD. They're all available now on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital starting Sunday night at 8 on the CW Philly. Tune in to The Flash to kick off Elseworlds, the biggest superhero crossover event ever. Over three nights Heroes of the Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl will encounter new enemies, and destiny will be rewritten.
Do you know, I don't cook all that often anymore.
Really?
But when I used to, if I ever use jalapeno and I would cut it up, the same little spot on my face, I would get like a bright red spot on my face. And I don't know if it was like one time I touched there before. Or
so it agitates it? You think now since you did it?
So if I ever, and again, like I said, I don't have this problem too much. But yeah, the same little spot. It's on...
I make jalapeno peppers. I hope you enjoy it. I used to be beautiful.
Steve.
Winter activities, anyone?
Steve, it's not that bad.
Oh, not that bad.
No, it's not. It's just a
discoloration.
No, it's right. On the left side of on my left cheek, and it's just this little red spot. Yeah, it's so weird.
You know, I do love that about peppers, though, that they change names when you smoke them, some of them. So the jalapeno really? Becomes a chipotle when it's smoked. And an ancho chili is a smoked poblano pepper.
Wow. There's such a science behind these things. And the Scoville scale and all of that stuff associated with it and the heat. And the thing that is also, and we talked about this, the biggest liability with these really very hot peppers is forgetting to wash your hands before you touch your junk or your eyes or whatever. Yeah.
It's also confusing. That's why I just stopped bothering.
I don't cook anymore.
Hello, guppies.
At the box office this weekend, number one, once again, Ralph Breaks the Internet, made $25.8 million, followed by The Grinch, Creed 2, Fantastic Beasts, Bohemian Rhapsody, Instant Family was sixth, followed by Possession of Hannah Grace, Robin Hood, Widows, and Green Book.
I was a little disappointed that Overlord wasn't in theaters all that long. I mean, it was basically out of theaters near me after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see that in the movie theater. But
you'll see it quickly at home.
Yeah.
Because that's apparently...
I hope.
A lot of these films are actually... I was reading an article about how that a lot of them are... they'll get their theatrical run, but they're really direct to... Blu-ray without being direct to Blu-ray. So they give them the run in the theaters just to say that they were theatrically released.
Right.
And the whole intent is to really have them do well in home video.
Yeah.
All right. So after a whirlwind, 4-month romance, Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas have gotten married in a stunning wedding.
Yeah!
Held at the Umaid Bawan Palace in Jodhpur, Rajasthan.
That's my place!
The lovebirds arrived in Priyanka's native India last week. Jonas and Chopra said their I do's in a Western-style ceremony on Saturday, officiated by Nick's father, Paul Kevin Sr. On Sunday, they held a Hindu ceremony to honor Priyanka's roots. The international list of celebrity guests also partied at the palace after the ceremonies.
Now, looking at a picture of them together, she is lovely, and he's a good-looking guy, but this sort of looks like she's taking her son to the movies. Doesn't
she's,
it?
She's like just maybe a half inch taller
than him. Yeah. Now buy a popcorn, but no Twizzlers.
She's 10 years older. They are committed to honoring each other's heritage and culture, Chopra wrote in a post on Instagram. She explained, planning our wedding with an amalgamation of both was so amazing. We made it our own, and it was an afternoon that kicked off the celebrations in the way that we both dreamed.
I mean, if the roles were reversed and he were 10 years older than her, I don't think anybody would bat an eye at it. But when the woman is older, I don't know why that is. It just seems like a little bit off.
She's gorgeous, though. She is. Stunning.
Both the bride and groom wore Ralph Lauren. The designer holds a special place in their hearts as they also both wear Ralph Lauren to the 2017 Met Gala, which took place 1 week before their first date.
That reminds us, Preston, we have to get selected and everything for our Met Gala outfits.
Yep.
Coming up.
Famed jeweler Chopard, is that how you say the name? I don't know, Chopard.
Hey, Chopard.
Designed their wedding bands. The bridal party consisted of several family members, including Nick's brothers Kevin and Joe, Kevin's wife Danielle, and Joe's fiancée Sophie Turner.
When Indian wedding ceremonies take place, they are full of color and vibrant, and it seems to be a really joyous event. Mm-hmm.
And doesn't it last like a few days?
It lasts exactly one calendar year.
Yeah.
The cards are apparently a source told Entertainment Tonight that the guests were given various gifts and a gift bag on their arrival with cards from Priyanka and Nick. The cards are golden white and gorgeous. They lay out the itinerary for the weekend. Inside the gift bags is a bag labeled Taste of India, which had all sorts of traditional foods, spices, and treats from India. So guests can get a taste of Priyanka's culture, the source added.
Oh, he's got a can of this spray-on sealant, Preston, that everyone was raving about.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, doggy. they also said inside guests were also given the OS kit, O-S-H-I-T kit.
Wow.
Which is for people who may have forgotten something or for their hangover. Women were given a beautiful totes as well.
I like
well.
That idea.
Yeah.
I've gotten those at weddings before. Like when you check in the hotel, they give you the OS bag. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's nice. And
That's a nice touch.
Mostly because of the Advil.
Yeah. Well, usually they have that, like, in the bathroom of the reception.
Right. I've seen that there, too.
If you're the first one to go to the bathroom, you got, you know, a pick of the litter. You can take whatever you want.
Really? So that's at the beginning, but is there an OF bag if it gets a little bit more dramatic?
Yeah.
Like condoms and whatnot?
Yeah.
Or,
bail money?
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt have reportedly reached a custody agreement over their six children following one of the ugliest splits in Hollywood history.
They both decided to just completely get rid of the kids, right?
Yeah, they're going to dispose of them. No, a custody arrangement was agreed to weeks ago and has been signed by both parties and the judge, Jolie's lawyer, Samantha Blade Jean, had said in a statement. The agreement, which is based on the recommendations of the child custody evaluator, eliminates the need for a trial.
Good.
The filing and details of the agreement are confidential to protect the best interest of the children. Pitt and Jolie separated in September of 2016. By the way, he's 11 years older than her, just giving you the age separation there, case. They were married for 2 years, but together for more than a decade. She filed for divorce asking for primary physical custody. In his response in November, he requested joint physical and legal custody. A trial date for the custody agreements was set for December 4th before a private judge. No details on how custody would be divided have been released as of yet.
Is this for all of the kids?
It's all for all the kids, yeah. Okay.
All six children.
Because she adopted... It was either one or two before she was with him. So
is that
I was
right?
wondering if it was included in him. But I think when they were married, he maybe officially adopted them as well. So
Maddox was hers
and
before.
Worf.
And Worf was on Star Trek. But maybe Pax and Maddox were both hers before.
When did they get sleep number?
The
girl.
The girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's ask George Takei later on today. He was on the Bridge in the Enterprise. Maybe he'll know.
He would know.
A new video app is being utilized by white supremacists to trick celebrities into recording anti-Semitic messages, according to a report by BuzzFeed. Yeah, listen to this. Cameo, which was launched in April 2018, that's the name of the app, was created to allow fans to pay for celebs to record personalized messages. And they would be along the lines of the level of celebrity you would expect. You know,
Caitlyn Jenner. Well, is one of them, yeah.
Yeah, people who have had their big rise in fame and aren't quite as famous as they once were, they get paid extra to record a message.
Okay.
So, and among those who have been duped are NFL legend Brett Favre, rapper Soulja Boy, and actor Andy Dick. The two alt-right leaders behind the plan bragged about it in a live stream on Wednesday. So Cameo and representatives from the celebrities told BuzzFeed, we're unaware the messages supported anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Now, in one message, this is what Favre said. Brett Favre, he goes, Brett Favre here with a shout-out to the Handsome Truth and the GDL boys. You guys are patriots in my eyes, so keep waking them up and don't let the small get you down. Keep fighting, too, and don't ever forget the USS Liberty and the men and women who died on that day. God bless and take care. Now, GDL refers to Goyim Defense League, an anti-Semitic group run by YouTubers who go by Handsome Truth and Sway Guevara. The phrasing used by Favre includes coded messages such as the small, which refers to small hats, which is a slur for yarmulkes.
Yeah.
And the USS Liberty refers to a ship that was accidentally shot by Israeli forces during the Six-Day War. Conspiracy theorists assert that the attack was actually intentional.
Yeah, and I was looking at the amount of money that they get for these things. It's not a lot. You're Brett Favre. You need this?
You should have been okay after your NFL career.
Right.
And that huge thing that you got for Blue Emu. Wasn't he one of the Blue Emu guys?
No, I don't remember. He very well might have been, though. Who knows?
He definitely was a dungaree guy.
But there's certainly a ton of money.
Yeah, but how do they get him to record this?
They submit a script. Here, so Cameo allows users to purchase a video message for a fee set by the celebrity after submitting a script to be either accepted or rejected. So essentially, you send them this and say, hey, will you say this on video for me? and they review it and they say, okay, yeah, I can do this. And then they, you know, charge them a couple grand or whatever.
And they'll knock off like 20 at a click.
Yeah, they can do a bunch, and it's an easy way to sit there and probably pull in $50,000. So
it is.
Even if you're very well off, that's a car right there, which you can do in a few minutes. So I can understand why they might want to do it.
I am Brett Favre, and I would just want to say I love Hitler and Mussolini. What does it say?
In live stream.
I'm a big fan of the fatalities caused by volcanoes.
In the live stream that I'd mentioned earlier, Handsome Truth explains that they purposefully made the messages cryptic enough that the celebs wouldn't realize their actual meaning. Representatives for Andy Dick and Soulja Boy told BuzzFeed News that both men thought that they were supporting fans with their Cameo messages. Favre's representation didn't return BuzzFeed's request for comment, but Cameo CEO said that Favre's team was made aware of the video when it started to go viral on alt-right internet spaces, and his reps reached out to Cameo to have it removed. So,
and I of Lady Otsinays.
I hate these people. Why do that? That's just...
What do they get out of it?
They're freaking evil. That's all there is to it. Kendall Jenner and Ben Simmons may be getting more serious, observers say. Jenner took a courtside seat to cheer him on as he battled the Washington Wizards in Philadelphia on Friday. She was there.
Yeah, and they won.
Yeah, they did win. But the Wizards are terrible.
And not just that, she was photographed with... The Sixers' mom as well. She was Ben Simmons' mom sitting with her.
Yeah.
And they were laughing and smiling most of the game.
Come on. We're just starting to get it together.
Yeah.
So the Sixers ended up winning, 123-98. So it was,
It was a pretty decisive win. But then they also went out on Saturday, Press. I don't know if you have that in your story there. But
I don't. Where'd they go? Tell.
They went to the Drexel basketball game.
What? Okay?
So it was her and him and TJ McConnell and then somebody else. I don't know who the other guy was.
And it's Kendall. I just found this incredible list of winter activities that I would love to do each and every one.
Girl, call me.
That's girl. Looks great. We're going to Floral and Hardy.
You don't like this?
No, I don't, because you know what, man? That family chews them up and they spit them out.
Yeah.
I've seen what they've done to other players. I hope he's grounded enough that he doesn't fall into this trap. He also is, I mean, aside from Kanye, is the biggest star of them all. You know what I mean? Like, Tristan Thompson
was mid-level, right?
Lamar Odom was on his way down.
What about the first dummy that Kim was married to?
Chris Humphreys.
Yeah.
First dummy.
He was a serviceable NBA player. Tristan Thompson was as good as LeBron allowed him to be. Right. Who do you call it? Yeah, Lamar Odom, I think, was probably decent at some point, but Ben, I mean, is a bona fide all-star.
Here's how I feel about Casey. No matter how grounded he is, or he's still a 22-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And this stuff gets distracting for anybody that's that age. And, like, she is a superstar, whether you like it or not. So I just see it as, no matter what, he's going to be distracted by the paparazzi and everything that goes along with it.
Well, and I wonder, too, whenever celebrities go to the games, they always make mention of it, but the Sixers have not. So I wonder if that's her decision or the Sixers' decision to say, hey, we're not going to kind of make a big deal.
So not promote it?
Yeah, well, that she's here.
Kathy, so when she was coming into town, they had... I forget who was covering it on Twitter, but they were following her in, and they had the video, very discreet going into the place and everything.
Not like Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill when they would sit courtside.
Yeah, they were a lot more. This was a lot more undercover.
Okay. I like the national exposure that the team gets.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. But I mean, listen, if it affects his game, I got a big problem with that.
What's
I have ocular migraines.
Okay, I turned my head to the left and I come back and
he's a Kardashian now.
Casey's wearing sunglasses.
Right, this isn't the first time and it won't be the last time. If I ever put sunglasses on in the middle of a break for no reason, it's because I had these ocular migraines.
I didn't know. It's probably been years since I've seen you do anything like that. And I turn around and I'm like, we're sitting here talking about...
Don't talk to me.
I'm sorry.
I tried to do it quietly. I didn't want to distract you guys, but I got this.
Why didn't you put on your stupid show?
Yeah. I'm sorry you feel that way, Holmes. Right. I hope you feel
better. Waiter, Clam's Casino in a bottle.
I literally turn my head this way and come back. And I'm like...
No,
you had to double take. I'm sorry, man. That sucks.
No, no, it's fine. Listen, there is no pain involved. There's just
There would be if you didn't have them on, right?
No, no, no. What happens is like this film goes into like my direct field of vision. Like this, I can't describe it any other way.
They call it haloing.
Yeah,
It's like an aura.
Good game.
Yeah. There's no pain involved. It's fine. It's just like distracting, and then it gets like I get scared.
Okay,
if that makes any sense.
I understand. You know,
there's like a little bit of anxiety that comes with it.
I hear you.
I'll hold your hand.
Thanks, buddy. You're appreciate back. It.
Okay. All right. I was sad to hear this, Steve, and I know you would be as well. Obviously, we lost HW over the weekend.
Yes,
that was big news and was covered quite extensively. One that wasn't covered so much. Ken Berry died over the weekend. Steve,
I love Ken Berry. I saw it.
Is that F Troop or something?
Captain Parman or F Troop?
Okay, yeah. I don't know this, but for some reason, I just know that name from you guys. I've never seen the show or anything.
He was
anything.
Also on Mama's Family for
which
years.
Which I hated.
I didn't like it either, but, you know, in some circles, it was very, very popular.
He was also on Mayberry RFD, right?
He was, yeah. He was 85 years old. His ex-wife, Jackie, had announced the news of his death on Facebook, but didn't give any details of why he passed away. He showed an interest in singing and dancing at an early age, and when he was 15 years old, he toured with a tap dancing ensemble. After high school, he went on to join the Army, and he actually served under a pre-Star Trek sergeant, Leonard Nimoy.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. He would continue to perform in talent contests, and he ended up being on all kinds of TV shows. He was on Ed Sullivan's Toast of the Town.
But he was like a showman.
He was an adept dancer,
but... if you watch F Troop, you can see some of his physical prowess because he did a lot of physical comedy. I loved that show.
Yeah, it was my sister's all-time favorite TV show. She still gets kicked about talking about
it. It was of that loony type of comedy where it really was sort of, you know, absurd, but it was anchored in reality.
It only aired for two seasons.
Yeah.
In 1965 through 67.
What were some of the go-tos were always that the cannon would blow up the tower.
Yep.
Yeah, and they would always report, was it Duffy is dead?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, we lost. I'm right here.
Yeah. And the Hakowies were the onions. Where the Hakowies.
Dobbs couldn't play the bugle to save his ass.
It was very gag-oriented, but it was very funny.
You said two seasons?
Yeah.
65 episodes.
Yeah. Wow. Casey, they used to do like 30, 35 episodes, and then sometimes even more.
That's crazy. I mean, you would... the shows used to run from the time school got back in session until the time school was out of session.
By the way, those are 65 episodes that probably ran about 23, 24 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas a commercial half hour now is what, 19, 20 minutes?
Yeah. Is it?
By the way, his other credits included The Bob Newhart Show, Julie Andrews Hour, Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour, The Donnie and Marie Show, Love Boat, Fantasy Island, Chips, The Golden Girls, and several Mitzi Gaynor specials as well.
Do you remember how he became a captain? His horse got spooked, and it started running him right into leading the battle. So he's trying to get control of the horse, but they think he's a hero because they surprised. No one knew there were Indians on the other side, and they just...
Fort Courage, that was the name of that. We're looking at the video of the show right now. It was very, very funny. He was also in Disney movies, Herbie Rides Again, and The Cat from Outer Space.
Cat from Outer Space, based on a true story.
I liked Ken Berry. That's sad news. Moving on, Billions actress Mullen Ackerman has married her British actor love, Jack Donnelly, in Tulum, Mexico.
Ooh, we were at Tulum.
We were. The bride wore a pink dress for her beach ceremony. Ackerman announced their engagement on Instagram in October. She appeared on Live with Kelly and Ryan earlier this year and revealed that Donnelly's rapport with her son, Sebastian, won her over. She said, he was brilliant with my son, and that was it. And my
I heart, don't love him, but he's just really good with my son.
And my heart melted. You try to explain to a 4.5-year-old that you're getting married and what an engagement is, and he jumped up on the couch and went, yay, we're getting married. So they have a nice relationship. So she got married. I always like her, too. Let's see. Amid mounting reports that Prince William, Prince Harry, Kate Middleton, and Meghan Markle, the so-called Fab Four, have had a falling out, Kensington Palace was quoted by UK's The Sun saying a rumored, quote, explosive row never happened.
I don't believe that there's any falling out.
No.
I think they're absolutely fine friends and getting along famously.
Speculation began in earnest after the palace confirmed last month that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex We're moving out of Kensington Palace, where they live adjacent to the Duke.
We're out of here!
And Duchess of Cambridge.
Going so. Across the courtyard.
We're going to Frogtown or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Frogland.
Frogmore.
Frogmore.
Frogmore. Yeah.
The name you must never speak.
That's where they are headed to.
Frogdemort.
Hey, well, get ready, Bachelor Nation.
Yeah!
In the first promo of Colton Underwood's season of The Bachelor.
I love you.
He jumps over a fence.
Ow! I didn't jump high enough, and it caught my pee-pee.
There are scenes of tears and nudity.
I'm a virgin.
And nudity, yeah. And lots of carrying on per usual. But Harrison, who promotes, who hosts the show.
Yeah.
This is Chris Harrison. Tells
E! He also does Millionaire Preston.
Oh, is that who that is?
That's him.
I did not know that. But he also tells E! News that the upcoming season is going to be even wilder than usual.
Yeah.
He said it is pretty gut-wrenching.
You're going to vomit.
Those are the words he used. It's pretty gut-wrenching, and it's a wild ride with him.
Okay, when does the season start?
January 7th.
You know what? I think I'm going to try and watch this season.
I'm a virgin.
Yeah.
You really?
I hate it so much. I'm going to give the first episode a go.
Okay.
Here's the deal.
If I'm filled with too much rage, then I'm out.
The reason why you watched the original versions, and I did the first couple, was that you had the women were amazing, yeah. And that was part of the deal. It's so dumb. You know, I don't know, but there are people, you know, you have friends
yeah.
who love this show.
I know people that have to watch it for their work.
Yeah.
You know, guys, and then other guys that have watched
accountants.
It.
Wait, they have to watch it
like
for their
Monkey
work.
Boy.
What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Monkey Boy.
Oh, in the entertainment industry.
He works in the entertainment, so he has to watch it just because.
Doctors. Hosted,
yeah. And then, another friend of mine watches it because, and I find this all out because they're like live tweeting it on Twitter. I'm like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Case, wow. I think if it gets you that angry, that's the reason to keep watching. Like, I would love to see your reaction, the anger you get, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to be angry, though. Like, I'm trying to but not.
I want
to
be happy.
But as with almost any show, though, you I think there would come a time where you would get invested in it
yeah.
and the anger would subside a little yeah. bit. You would actually become a slight bit of a fanboy.
Why can't he see that she's yeah. just fake? She is totally fake.
It does happen.
Yeah.
It like, does happen.
I mean, whatever happened to the one where the chick took a dump on the stairs? Remember that one?
That was a Flavor Fave show. So that was
Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love. And that was New York, I think her name was.
Uh-huh.
She took a full-blown, fully formed dump on the stairs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's wife material.
Yeah. Let's move over to Goop. Speaking of pooping yeah. on the stairs, it kind of sounds like that, doesn't it?
Goop.
I gooped on the steps. Goop guru Gwyneth Paltrow shared her strategy for feeling beautiful and sexy.
Oh, yeah?
How about looking beautiful and sexy? That might be part of it.
Being born beautiful and sexy.
She said, I really believe in sweating. Get the blood going.
And farting.
Hydrate. Sleep. Eat. Eat food that's full of rich nutrients. Be around people that you love and make you laugh and have sex.
So let's take a really hideous looking person, follow those rules, and see how good they look at the end of this.
She said it's a whole thing. She said it's not easy, even for her. She admits, I have a teen and a preteen, and I'm running a company, so it's hard, but I won't sacrifice moving my body. I process through emotional stuff by doing that. So those are words of wisdom. From Gwyneth Paltrow.
And a porcelain vagina egg doesn't hurt now and then.
No. But maybe it does hurt.
Rounded edges.
Yeah. Sony's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse drops December 14th, and it will be the sixth major film this year alone to feature a cameo by legendary Stan Lee.
Wow.
It'll be the first one released following his death at age 95, of course, on November 12th. The filmmaker recently spoke about the scene to The Hollywood Reporter. He said it was important to us. That his character was important to the plot. This is Bob Parachetti, another member of the directing trio. He said, and we achieved that. His character has a key moment and gives Miles a talisman. In all, Lee has appeared in more than three dozen films over the past two decades.
Did you see, Robert Downey had posted a picture of him wearing a shirt, and the artwork on it is great, Preston. It is sort of a morphing of all, or at least the major Marvel characters that Stan Lee made with him as part of it.
No, so I can see that.
You can see part of Stan Lee's face with this whole amalgamation of the other superheroes.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's very cool.
I have to check that out. One last thing, speaking of the Marvel series, it's not faring that well at Netflix. Daredevil, which kicked off the Marvel Universe on the streaming giant, has been axed after 3 seasons. This comes after Netflix pulled the plug on Iron Fist and Luke Cage last month. However, fans can take comfort in the news that the Daredevil character will live on in future Marvel projects. The company said in a statement, "We look forward to more adventures with the Man Without Fear in the future." But so Daredevil is coming to a close.
Daredevil's run on Marvel, on Netflix, you saw the first season, right?
Some of it.
Yeah,
or maybe
amazing.
I think I did watch the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, and so that Jessica Jones and the Punisher, I think, were the three best. Now, they still have a Jessica Jones and a Punisher to run on Netflix. The idea is that possibly with Disney getting their own Netflix-style deal and they own Marvel, that it might port over to there.
Okay.
Or they might be looking at, again, another major motion picture, Daredevil incarnation.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. All right. I like Daredevil, but for me, Punisher is the best. I mean, it's the one that I enjoyed the most.
Punisher was great, but yeah, all of them. They're wonderful.
All right. We got to get to the clips here, folks. In case you missed it, the fall season finale of The Resident aired last week following one of Dr. Conrad Hawkins' most difficult patients, his own father. In this clip, Matt Zerchi,
Can
I say his name? Zerchi, talks about his character's main goal. Here we go.
His love for the patients come through in a very interesting way. He's willing to break the rules and do whatever's necessary, but he loves his patients. So I think that hopefully is something that maybe overshadows the arrogance or the confidences.
I don't give a f***.
The Resident is streaming now on Fox.com. Here's the next clip. Tonight's episode of Arrow highlights this season's overreaching theme. And that is that the Green Arrow is locked in jail while another vigilante roams the streets wearing his costume. Here, Stephen Amell discusses how this season is different than the rest.
In season 7, we're introducing a new storytelling technique, which I'm very, very excited about season 7. I feel like we kind of had an in-between year, in between season 5 and season 7, where I don't know if we knew exactly what we wanted to do with the show, but season 7 feels very, very set in place.
All right.
It's cool that they got a submarine audio to send that.
Yeah, exactly. Arrow airs tonight, 8 o'clock. That's on the CW, and that is what I have for you this morning in the entertainment report. And Casey just handed this to me. We have a pair of passes to see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Whoa!
On Sunday the 9th at 11 a.m. at the UA Riverview. It hits theaters December 14th. Actually, we have several pair to give away. So I will take, let's take 7 callers, and we'll set you up with that. So once again, it's the UA Riverview, and I don't have a screening time on here, Case.
You said 11 a.m.
Oh, my God, you're right. Oh, wow, I'm just not used to saying that. December 9th at 11 a.m., so you need to be there by 10:30. I've never said that before.
Yes.
We always have them in the evening, 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now, and we'll put you on that list. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We got a bunch of guests on the show and stuff to get to. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kathy. George Takei going to be on the program later on this morning. Our buddy Joe Matarese is in town. He's going to be joining us. And we have a gentleman named Kevin Warbach who's going to be on. And he's with the Wharton School at UPenn. And he is going to try to explain to us a little bit about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all that good stuff. But he's got a book out, so it should be some pretty interesting.
You know what we should do during that whole segment, Preston? If we could find high chairs big enough for all of us so we can sit up in them and feel dumber than we already are.
I can't really wrap my mind around
it. No, neither can I.
And I'll be sharp as a tack today to take it along. I'm tired.
As am I.
From last week. I will not lie. I'm still trying to get the energy back up and moving. And I don't think it's as a result of what happened to me this morning. I had, for the first time in all my years of driving, I hit a deer this morning.
First time? Wow. That's the first time? You didn't mention that.
Yeah, I've never clipped a deer with as many. Pennsylvania has more deer than in any state in the
U.S. Yes.
They're all over the place. And I've told you guys before, every single morning I drive to work, I see a minimum at least six deer, and sometimes I see more than a dozen on the way in, because I live in a fairly rural area, and I see them before I get to the turnpike. I see loads of deer. They're usually in the same spots each morning.
Okay, yeah.
But I hit one this morning.
How fast were you going? I'm sorry.
I was probably, the speed limit's 45. Listen, it's, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, so I was probably doing 50, maybe even a little more. But but it was foggy. That's the thing. There were patches of fog, and I'm zipping along, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the road, or in the middle of my lane, was a pretty sizable buck. He had the antlers, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And
did you slam on the brakes?
I slammed on the brakes, but more importantly than anything, you don't want to lose control of your car.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't lock it up and, you know, spin the wheel or anything like that. I did my best to nudge over in the left lane, and it was on 73, which is a major thoroughfare.
You didn't do a J-turn?
I know. But that's Skipack Pike. It's a major thoroughfare in my area. And so I slammed on the brakes. I pulled to the left a little bit. He went to the right, and I caught his hindquarters. You know what I was telling Steve this morning is it didn't feel like it made a whole lot of contact to the vehicle, which for a moment made me realize, I'm like, you know what? When these people say that they've actually hit somebody and not realize they've done, I mean, like a pedestrian.
Yes. Kind of got it.
Yeah.
I kind of got it a little bit, because I thought it was going to be boom, man. I thought it was really going to nail. And so I get to Wawa and I get out, and sure enough, the grill of my car's busted and all cracked out and stuff. So I hit him, but I didn't really feel it.
And you said the hunter who was going after that deer, his head was sticking out of the grill.
Yeah. But he was okay.
But you said that, to the best of your knowledge, the deer, so that you didn't see any blood. You just saw
some hair, fur, okay, or whatever you want to call it.
So it's a very similar situation happened with me, and the deer sort of caught the front left quarter panel of the car I was driving and sort of slid over, and then I came to a screeching halt. This is, again, at the time that we're coming into work, we're usually only cars on the street at that time.
Yep.
And I watch the deer in the rear view jump over the rail and go into the woods. So I'm figuring it couldn't have been that hurt.
Yeah.
You know? And you hope, you tell yourself that, because the last thing in the world you want is to have injured an animal.
Sure. And it's going to go and suffer.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. I didn't stop.
What are you going to get your rifle out and go into the woods and stuff?
There's absolutely nothing that I could do at that point.
Yeah.
So I know that he wasn't in the middle of the road. I looked behind in my rear view. I didn't see anything, and there was no point in me stopping. So I just kept going.
Does it even make sense to keep a bear in the car to send the bear after the deer?
Yeah, just to, you know.
Check it out.
Yeah, go check it out.
I don't want to know what happened.
Yeah.
Just take care.
Bruno, please.
You know, I see dead deer on the side of the road all the time. And my kids, when they were younger, I didn't want them. You know, you see a dead animal on the side of the road, I would always go, oh, look at the deer. He's sleeping. That's dangerous for him to be sleeping on the side of the road like
Why
that.
Why is he sleeping with his legs back behind his head?
I was out by you, though, actually, at Floral and Hardy. And there's kind of like some back windy roads there, and kind of over where we had your 50th birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, on the way home, I had Jason in the car with me. And there was like three of them on the side of the road. And you don't want to get too nervous, but I mean, I slowed way down because I did not want to hit that thing.
Pre-dawn and dusk, they're all over the place.
Yep.
Worst times.
Casey, you get them in your driveway.
In my neighborhood. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm like right near a golf course, just like you. That's why I'm surprised
and
you don't have
them. Deer
love
to play golf. Yeah.
They do. Well, especially this time of year, because there aren't that many people out on the course. But I mean, I may open my garage door and they're like all kind of hanging out in my side yard. In fact, my wife, she had I don't know, it was like popcorn in the car, so she just dumped it out into the driveway expecting all the deer to eat it. There's still popcorn in my driveway, by the way. Like a huge pile of popcorn in my... I said, they're not pretzels. Deer eat pretzels, honey.
Come on, woman. Don't you know anything about animals?
How often do you guys see them here in the parking lot? Because I've pulled into Belmont several times, and often bucks, and it's weird when you pull into work. Like, it's one thing when you're driving around Valley Forge or you see them alongside 422, but I see them here in One Bala.
Well, Nick, in addition to the country station, we pitched out the deer station.
Oh, so, well, that's good.
I will see them, and it makes you wonder, because you know they're going from woods or small woods-like patches, that's where they're going, and how they sort of piecemeal into our parking lot, you know? Yeah.
Well, you know what's another bizarre place that I see them all the time is the Mid-County Tolls, right around there.
Do they really have easy pass?
They don't have easy pass. They hold up the line.
They pay.
No, most times when I'm getting off of the turnpike coming west at the Norristown exit, so like past the Mid-County Tolls a little bit.
Okay.
But on that off-ramp there, I see them all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You want to just go out and say, guys, come here. You're right near a main thoroughfare of traffic. Could you take it into the woods deeper? You'd be safer. But, you know, that for some reason, and whatever that reason is, they're going to continue to congregate there.
And I've told you guys this story a few times, but I believe it happened on the turnpike. But a friend of mine was driving. The deer ran out. He hit the deer, and the deer's ass end came through his back window, and the deer crapped all over his car.
Yeah, it sprayed crap inside the back of the car.
For you,
Preston, I mean, if it was a buck and a big one, that goes through the windshield. That could kill you.
Yeah, it could have been bad. Somebody texted in and said, for future reference, when you see a deer and can't avoid it, the saying is, if you're going to hit a deer, speed up.
Yeah, somebody else texted.
The hell does that mean?
Well, somebody else texted in that you shouldn't brake. And yet, every instinct in your body when you see something like that is to absolutely slam on the brake.
It was a split second, right? You know?
I think the idea, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe anyone can let us know, is the idea if you're going to hit it hard enough to kill it?
No. That's not a good idea at all.
It doesn't sound like a good idea to me, but...
cause more damage to your vehicle and another opportunity for you to get injured as well.
Also, if there's other traffic, try to run them into the deer as well.
Right, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, you'll make a pack.
All right, so quick question. I don't know if we ever addressed this or if this is something that's valid. For the longest time when I was doing a lot of driving in upstate New York, in the Adirondacks, I would see people who had these...
the whistles?
Do they work? Do we ever definitively figure out whether they work or not?
So it's a little attachment that you put onto the front of your car, and as it moves, air goes through it, and it creates some kind of an inaudible sound the humans can't hear. I think it's a scam, personally.
Yeah.
You can't hear it, but they can.
Yeah.
It's just a piece of plastic on the front.
Well, you got to figure, can't deer hear all of those cars that are on the highway? You know what I mean?
Steve, I don't know if it's legit or not, but I've seen them before.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What about a scoop, like on the front of a locomotive?
Yeah.
Right?
A cow mover? Yeah. One of those things.
So, and then some other people are saying that, like, it shifts the weight of your car down, so in your hood is then pointed lower. And I've seen several texts that suggest this when you slam on the brakes. But listen, like, there's no way that your body is not going to tell you to hit the brakes when you see a deer.
It's a reflex.
Go.
Yeah. Speed up. Yeah. You don't have enough time to speed up anyway. No. Your natural reaction is to slam on the brakes.
Yeah. And when I saw it, because it was foggy out, all of a sudden it was like, boom, there's something in the middle of the road. And immediately, you know. Your instinct is to avoid an object from hitting an object.
I
don't see how anybody would want to, could even possibly lean on the accelerator.
At any second, did you think it was a human or
no?
Okay.
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, yeah, but it was a human dressed as a deer. It was two people in one of those costumes.
We're going to a costume party. We can cross this road. It looks pretty safe.
Hey, this is sort of a stupid question, but in order for your airbags to deploy, do you have to hit the brakes first?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. You have to actually turn the switch.
Yeah, I mean, because you got to figure, like, what if you get T-boned at an intersection, you don't even see the crash coming or whatever.
Or T-bagged.
Ooh.
Much more T-bagged.
I'm going to go to Amy here real quick. Hi, Amy. Good morning.
I'm sorry. We have to move on.
What's up, Amy?
So our son has actually hit two deer, and he's not been driving that many years, but they were both already dead and in the road.
So they were with him.
Pardon?
They were dead carcasses in the middle of the road?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And the first time we were with him, and we were it was in the dark, and we were trying to find a house we'd never been to, and all of a sudden there's this like it was so loud. And nasty. It was the middle of winter, and we had to take it to a car wash and wash it underneath. And
sure,
disgusting.
Yeah, because not only that, you'd get sort of the meat and pulp up under the engine, and there'd be a horrific smell after a while.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if that's better or worse. We give him no end of crap because he's now hit two deer and they were both dead. Like, really, you can't avoid them?
I know. Oh, you think you would see a full deer in the middle of the road.
Yeah. Thank you. My wife is known as the animal killer within our family.
What's her animal of squirrels?
No, deer.
Deer?
She's hit deer. A lot of birds.
She kills birds.
It's not fault. They fly into the car, but it happens to her all the time, and we give her crap all the time.
Honestly, that one actually pisses me off the most of anything because you're a bird.
Yes.
You have the sky.
Yeah.
What are you doing 3 feet off the road?
By the way, Casey, we got a follow-up. It says here in a text, deer use the easy pass at Mid-County. It's only a buck. Hey!
Yes!
Yeah!
Oh, starting Monday off strong. Oh,
my God. All right, so here. Let's go to the theory that one must drive faster when we're barreling down on a deer.
Speed up!
Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Yes, those little horns you put on your car do not work. I'm an actual appraiser, and I looked at a ton of cars with deer hit with horns on it.
Okay,
so they don't work.
If you do put your brake on, the deer is more likely going to hit your roof and then go right on your hood and then go right through the windshield. It's dangerous that way. And also, there's no a doctor out there to fix the deer. So if you do hit him hard enough, it will die and not suffer and just sit there.
Well, let me ask you, Chris, what's practically speaking, what is the likelihood that someone's going to have enough time to speed up?
Well, not speed up. I mean, if you have that much time, you should be able to stop.
And isn't it a natural instinct when you see something in front of the car to stop?
Of course it is. It's hard, but if you're going to duck that hard, like you said, the nose of your car is going to drop. It's going to hit your hood and come through the windshield. I've seen a lot of injuries that way.
Do you recommend that people practice not braking when things are in front of their car?
Well, no, not really.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
I remember when I was younger, I went up the mountains with my friend and his parents, and it was like really the first time I had ever seen a deer in the wild. And it was at night, and they stopped the car, and they put their high beams on, and they said that the lights stun the deer. So that's why they had put the high beams on, because it like stun and it basically freezes.
Like a deer
in
headlights.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's illegal to hunt with a spotlight like that.
Like a squirrel in loafers.
Oh, yeah, squirrel in loafers.
Yeah, yeah. If you spotlight them like that, they'll freeze.
Okay.
And they're an easy mark.
And then they start doing stand up.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Hey, how about that street they're doing over there, that conduit over there? Why do they call it a parkway while you're driving and a driveway when you park?
No, give them the easy pass line. That's a good one.
It's only a buck. Yeah.
I also hear you use the easy pass.
What's up?
Just in case you don't have enough dough.
Wait a minute.
Come on.
Wait a minute. You're right.
What's up? Is that too old? I don't know.
You're a catchphrase comic?
The deer just pulls a microphone off from there in the dark.
Thank you, folks. Where are you folks from?
Oh, man. Let me go to another theory as to why you should drive faster when you see a deer. Hi, David. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
All right, well, I never heard about a car, but when I was getting my license for my CDL, they tell us to speed up to raise the front of the truck to do less damage to the truck.
Right.
I can see that. Speed, you know, with a truck and Preston. So to that point, do you remember it was a few years ago? It was on 76, and you and I saw it. I think everyone saw it who was coming in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was carnage.
Sure.
Blood blasted all over the pavement and pulpy meat.
Yep.
And it had to be a truck going full bore that slammed. You remember, Case?
Yeah.
Just obliterated the deer.
And then what happens, multiple vehicles will hit the other parts and it spreads them all over the place.
It's a gift for everyone.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? But, I mean, can you imagine you're in a car and it's like, dude, there's a deer about 200 yards down the road.
Speed up!
Hit it!
Got it!
There's no way you can have enough reaction time to, A, realize that this is, you know, first of all, you see object, and then your brain will register deer.
Right.
You know, but between that time, there's probably a split second, and, you know.
And then it's over.
Yeah, so I don't think that's viable.
And even Chris said there's no way.
You want to punch it. I'm going to go to Kelly, who is an insurance underwriter. And wants a comment on hitting a deer. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. So, while no one really enjoys
hitting a deer.
Mm-hmm.
From a personal auto standpoint, it's always better to hit the deer than to swerve and hit like a guardrail or something else.
Sure.
If you hit the deer, it goes underneath your comp and it doesn't raise your rate. If you hit a guardrail, another car, or anything else, after you hit it, your insurance rates can be jacked up. So it's always better to hit the deer.
Hey, so by the way, I hit a deer. It did damage to my car. And now, obviously, I'm going to have to file a claim. What? How do you prove that I hit a deer, you know?
Just take a couple of pictures. I mean, damage from a deer is pretty standard. It kind of looks the same. And you even said that there's fur in your car.
Yeah, there's some hair on it.
Just take a couple pictures, call your adjuster. It happens a lot in Pennsylvania, no problem.
Well, Preston said he got the information. He exchanged information with the deer.
Yeah, we stopped and he didn't.
I got my insurance. It's on my phone here. One second.
Yes.
I'm fully covered.
Yeah,
don't
he
worry.
Was covered yeah, and everything.
All me. I was practicing my stand up.
Then you'll be fine, Preston, if he was fully covered.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. No, that's the thing. I did have the wherewithal to realize that even though I swerved a little bit, I didn't cut it too hard because I knew if I did, that's going to be me hitting a telephone pole or
something.
And
you die
like that.
Then.
Yeah, so it's not worth it. But next time I'll hit the gas really
just
hard.
Just keep going. So good rule, you see something in the distance in your high beams, gun it.
Hang on. Okay, here. Dawn has a story that goes along with that. Hi, Dawn. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Dawn?
You were discussing whether or not to have the option of stopping versus gunning it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was driving a CBR 1000 motorcycle, and he gunned it and hit the deer right behind the shoulder and sliced right through it and never dropped the bike.
Sliced right through it?
That's a lie.
Come on, Dawn.
And here is a story. If he didn't live three doors down from us, where my husband and I went over to see the damage of the bike, never would have believed the story.
All right, so you're saying that he went, like, so the torso of the deer, he went right through that, and there were two halves standing.
Well,
Steve, it's like the Mach 5. He's got a blade that comes out in the front.
Just cut right. And the deer turns around.
Well, I'll be. Never saw that before.
I can see it.
But he definitely went right through it and never dropped the bike. That was the most amazing part.
No, I listen, if you're on a motorcycle, even though I'm not sure you could cut a deer in half, but I would say this. It's probably better if you can't swerve to speed up because...
What else are you going to do?
Yeah, if you're traveling at a decent rate of speed, you then the bike goes down, you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Exactly, and I think that's why he thought it's like...
What he should have done is slid under the deer.
Yes. I've seen it done. I've seen it. Turn the bike sideways.
Right.
Slide under the deer.
Punch the deer in the stomach as you're going underneath him just to send a message.
I never thought about that, about hitting a deer on a motorcycle. That's a good chance to be fatal right there for the rider.
Well, what about people who take Segways to work?
Wait, I'm going to crank it up to 12 miles an hour now.
Preston.
Just bounce off.
Why'd you do that?
Ow.
Ow.
Ow. That's going to leave a bruise.
This sounds nasty. Let me go to Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy. Good morning.
Good morning. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, buddy?
I hauled feed on the eastern shore of Delaware for a number of years, and I was driving down the road, and a deer come out of the left side. I struck the deer, middle of winter. I got to the farm, and there was a piece of meat on the bumper. Okay. Well, I didn't want to touch a warm piece of meat, so I left it there for, few hours. The sun came up. And I went to pull the deer, the piece of meat off the bumper, and it turns out that it was a doe, and it was the baby that was stuck.
It was like a deer fetus. It was kind of small.
Yeah, it couldn't have been probably more than a few
Daddy.
Weeks old.
It couldn't have been more than what? I'm sorry?
A few weeks old. The eyes were still all, skinned over. And it couldn't have been more than 6 inches long.
And that'll ruin your day.
I looked at it, I'm like, oh, I know what that is.
And there's nothing you can do. I mean,
he left it there on his bumper all day.
Hey, come look at this. I got a dead baby deer in my grill.
In fact, he left it there.
Yeah.
New hood ornament.
It's my Christmas card.
Oh, my God. That's messed up,
Jeremy.
Jesus Christ. Did it damage the car much?
No, it was a tractor trailer.
Oh, okay. Right. Tractor trailer beats deer.
In a little bit. Yep, yeah. It definitely does.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I get it's so funny with all, especially in this state, that there's not technology or something. Somebody hasn't come up with some effective form of like something that would be like that whistle that would send the deer scattering. Yeah. What is a natural sound that would make them run? They seem to be so skittish to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to Casey's point, you hear a car barreling down on you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the wild, they're meant to listen for predators.
Yeah, but when they're driving by on the Schuylkill, and you know, it's just they're used to it. You know, you just get used to the traffic.
We have people get hit on train tracks regularly.
Yeah.
You know, just walking on the tracks, and you would think they would hear the freaking locomotive coming after.
I wonder how many deer are hit by train every year.
Oh, that's got to be, you know what?
I mean, because
especially around here, it's got to be a lot, I would imagine. Hang on, Zach, I want to hear how this worked out. Hi, Zach, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, man?
So I actually got hit by a deer. I have never hit a deer.
How did this happen?
Do tell.
I was on the way home down some rural back roads on the way home from school one day. I saw this deer on the street, and I decided to stop in front of it about maybe 6 inches. Deer comes flying out of the woods beside me and jumps over the back of my car and kicks it on the way over.
Kicked it.
I'm walking here! Yeah.
The rats are wizard of deers.
I think that's the way it happened when Rochelle hit a deer. I think it actually ran out and bonked into the side of the car.
Slaps its paws down. You bitch!
They act a little crazy when they're in rut, which is around now, and I've seen large bucks, like,
rattlers
just running for no particular reason, you know, and I think part of it is they get a little hormoning.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Rochelle, huh? Yeah. Yeah.
She's sitting there humping the air like a dog.
Daddy likey.
Well.
Yeah.
It, you know, and somebody was on hold, but they're gone now. They said that they hit a deer while trying to avoid a different deer. Oh. That's another thing you got to keep an eye out for, because when there's one, there's usually more.
Yeah. You're never alone, right?
And if I see them, I've said this before, if I see a deer run across the road in front of me, I still slow down, and rather than watch that deer run on, I look to see if there's another one that's going to be coming across the road, because there's a good chance there will be.
One time, it had to be 4 or 5, this is when we were at Y100 out in Media. And that stretch of road between where my apartment was and the station.
Yeah, Baltimore Pike.
Yes. Oh, every once in a while, you'd see a cluster of them come running across the road.
Yep, exactly.
By the way, I mean, it just dawned on me that maybe Bucks County is named after a male deer. Kathy, are you, do you know whether or not where...
Casey, it was named after Buckinghamshire in England.
It was.
You guys don't remember that? Okay. From,
what you remember?
All right.
Remember that from Delco versus Bucks Go?
I try to forget everything.
All right, but anyhow, that was the first for me. Never hit a deer before. Happened this morning. I was lucky. Didn't take a lot of damage, and hopefully the deer is okay. But, you know, if I'll drive back by that stretch later on today and see if there's a carcass sitting out there or not.
Three dead babies.
I saw one the other day, though, that had been laying out on right by a major thoroughfare, and there were like 15 vultures over there having their meal. But then you have...
That's what they do.
You have to keep in mind that it's...
Nature.
They're living off of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I saw one time a classic Preston, all 4 legs sticking directly up. You know, the only thing missing were X's on the deer's eyes.
Yeah.
It was so...
Tongue sticking out.
Cartoony, yeah.
All right, anyhow, we need to take a break. Before we do that, I want to mention I saw an Instagram post this morning that Nick had showed me, and it was... a group of guys who are called the Cardboard Sled Union 933, and they have been working on their cardboard classic sled since at least Thanksgiving, right, Nick?
Yeah.
Maybe before that. So just a reminder that I know March is a ways away, but if you're going to do something really awesome and big and over the top, there are some groups that are already working on it.
Can you reveal what it was that you saw on the...
I can't quite tell yet. It's in the embryonic stages. It's just literally looks like a cardboard slat of some sort. It has kind of a humanoid figure to it.
Okay.
Don't want to reveal too much, though.
What they're going to do with that, I don't know. Well, they're posting it on social media, so they want people to see it. So I'm intrigued and excited already, but that's not till March. We usually do that the first Friday in March, and I know we haven't announced a day, or have we?
I don't know if we have, but that's when it is.
That's generally.
Do you know what it looks like, Preston? Looking at the base of it, it looks like a sarcophagus.
Yeah, something like that. You're right. So just a heads up on that. Listen, let's take a break, come back in a moment or two, and we'll get some bizarre file stories. That's on the way next. Stay with us this morning.
From all of us at WMMR and the Preston and Steve Show, we are so grateful to everyone who helped out with Camp Out this year. Thanks for every donation, large and small, benefiting our neighbors in need. And thanks for every hour volunteered loading and unloading donations in the nice weather and the rain. Tune in tomorrow morning to see how we did when Preston and Steve unveil this year's totals.
Camp Out would not be possible without the generosity of you, our great friends and listeners, and our partners. From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
The 9 o'clock hour, George Takei is going to be on the program. Our buddy Joe Matarese is stopping in as well. And this gentleman from UPenn Wharton, Kevin Warbach, will tell you more about what he's got going on as well. So a few people to talk to a little bit later on this morning. In the meantime, I have some bizarre file stories.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre, bizarre File.
This morning is brought to you by Heritage Business Systems. The document imaging equipment solution is Heritage Business Systems. Service, satisfaction, reliability. That's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer. Well, a man has been arrested after police said he shot his own son during a family argument over athletes kneeling during the national anthem.
Shot him over that.
And it happened on Thanksgiving as
of
well.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Before or after dessert.
The man told police that the gun went off when his son threw something at him. It happened just before 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving. Upon arrival, officers found that a 21-year-old man had been shot. The witnesses told officers that the man had gotten into a verbal and physical altercation with a family member during Thanksgiving dinner. The man was asked to leave and went into the family's backyard after his father, 51-year-old Jorge Lamardi, took out a shotgun. In a statement, Valencia Lamardi told police that his son started fighting over athletes kneeling during the national anthem, and the situation quickly escalated. Reports state the man continued to argue with his family members and then started throwing things at his father from the backyard. Valencia said that his son threw a water bottle at him, causing him to fire the gun, hitting his son in the hand and leg. Valencia said that his son had been drinking. He was arrested. Valencia was arrested and charged with assault with a deadly weapon, inflicting serious injury. Just another Thanksgiving Day dinner.
Now we'll talk about abortion.
Yeah. A woman who has been freed after she became trapped inside a trash compactor outside her apartment. So she was saved.
Jesus.
The 71-year-old woman was last listed in stable condition at the hospital. The call came in around 7:50 p.m. Firefighters said that all efforts for nearly 2 hours were focused on getting the woman out. They were able to free the woman's legs at about 9:30 p.m. So she fell in before 8, and it wasn't until 9:30 that they were able to just get her legs out.
Oh, my God.
The woman...
If you're claustrophobic, you'd be going out of your mind.
She had dropped her keys in the trash compactor. She then stepped inside to retrieve the keys. Fortunately, a friend of the victim saw the incident and pressed the emergency stop button on the trash compactor. Had they not been there, it would have killed her.
Aren't some of those compactors, aren't they automatic, too?
Yeah, I think that was kind of the situation with this one. So, you know, you shut the door and it starts compacting.
There you go.
So they were able to hit the stop button, and she wasn't squished, thank God. A Southwest Florida man accused of driving while drunk when he caused an accident this weekend thought that he was in an Uber vehicle as police transported him to jail. 40-year-old Travis Howard was arrested for rear-ending another vehicle who was stopped at a light.
I'm going to give you a good rating.
Howard told deputies that he couldn't remember how the crash happened and handed officers a hotel card when they asked for his license.
Florida man, Florida man.
Howard refused to take a breathalyzer test before failing several sobriety tests and being arrested on DUI charges. While in the back of the deputy car, Howard reportedly said, "Uber, when we get to my room, can I go to bed?" before being informed that he was going to jail.
He didn't notice the police accoutrement?
Guess not. Howard was booked into jail and released after posting $1,500 bond. Deputies say Howard, who will appear in court next month on the charges, has been arrested 5 times since last December. A Dublin man who touched a fellow bus passenger's shoulder with his penis claimed that he had been urinating when the vehicle jerked him forward and pushed him towards the woman.
He was pissing in the bus?
That's the deal. Yep.
It's not my fault. I was just taking a whiz in the bus and my penis hit her.
Thomas McMahon was due to be sentenced at Dublin Circuit Criminal Court after he pleaded guilty to exposure on a Dublin bus. The sentence carries a maximum penalty for 2 years. An officer, it says a Garda here, they call them, the officer, Connor O'Neill, agreed that the victim told the Garda that the bus had jerked forward when she noticed McMahon's penis on her shoulder.
Hello.
He also accepted that McMahon said that he had problems with urinating due to both his alcohol and drug addictions, and that although he could not remember the incident, he thought that it was most likely that he had gone to the back of the bus to urinate.
Which is where you go, right? Yeah, Some of them even have bathrooms back there.
Yeah, this one didn't. It was further accepted that McMahon was disgusted by his behavior and extremely remorseful. O'Neill accepted a suggestion that McMahon is now in a better shape than he had been at the time and had taken steps to rehabilitate. McMahon didn't have his wits about him because of his addiction. He had gone to the back of the bus with the intention of urinating. There was no sexual element to it.
Oh, my God.
He was not seeking to sexually gratify himself with making contact with her, counsel had said. The woman was heading into town on the bus when she noticed a man sitting alone on the other aisle. She didn't notice him sit behind her, but when the bus jerked forward, she felt his penis on her shoulder.
Hi. Okay.
She saw that he was standing up behind her, but he was not in, quote, an excited state.
Okay, he was in a peeing state.
Yeah, she screamed at him and ran down the bus driver. McMahon got off the bus, and the driver pulled up to the next light and called the police.
So he's whizzing. He's standing behind her, facing her.
I guess
the bus jerks forward.
Yeah.
And his unit ends up on her shoulder.
On her shoulder, yeah.
That's a hell of a bus ride.
She took 2 days off, but otherwise the incident has had no lasting impact.
You don't understand.
Her.
I had a penis on my shoulder.
He was arrested and cooperated with the investigation, although he said that he had no recollection of the incident, and he has been charged in previous incidents.
Maybe this is the point in time at which he turns his life around.
Maybe. And then finally, we'll end with this. A dramatic video posted online captured part of a police chase through a school zone in a southern Alberta village that ended with three arrests and the seizure of $20,000 worth of stolen maple syrup.
Maple syrup theft.
Yeah.
Again.
The video shows a silver car traveling at high speeds through a small town with four police vehicles in hot pursuit. Video shows part of the chase that started just after 9 a.m. after Mounties spotted a truck and cargo trailer reportedly stolen earlier that morning. The driver ditched the truck and jumped into a silver car waiting nearby as officers approached. The car took off and led officers on chase, ending with the arrest of two men and two women and one man. Spike strips were used to immobilize the vehicle, taking out all four of the car's tires before it came to a stop. And Mounties recovered the stolen truck and trailer, along with $20,000 worth of maple syrup.
Jeez.
The total value of the stolen property was approximately $110,000. And there you go. That is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We'll do a couple more ticket giveaways for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which you have a screening of. It's a morning screening. Sunday, December 9th at 11 a.m. at the UA Riverview. It doesn't hit theaters till the 14th. So we'll take three callers and we'll give you some passes to go see the movie. 215-263-WMMR. So once again, it's Sunday, December 9th at 11 a.m. at the UA Riverview. You want to be there by 10:30. We'll take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Spent the last couple days perusing around Walmart. My daughter got an advent calendar and we needed to fill it up.
I love advent calendars.
So we had to go, we need to get a bunch of small things.
Yes.
So we could, because the advent calendar has little drawers that you pull out.
Right.
So we went to Walmart and shopped around for those. And I also went to go purchase some Christmas lights. I ended up going to three different places and couldn't find what I'm looking for.
You have a specific type of light you're looking for?
I want to get LED lights. See, so years ago, I had the regular incandescent lights.
Yes.
And they would cause the power to trip because I use so many of them.
Yes.
So you need to go to LED. And the last 2 years haven't really done much in the way of lights. I just like, I just didn't feel like futzing with it. We put up some decorations, but I didn't do the full-on lights. That's a hassle when you're going to do it. So if you don't feel like doing it, you don't do it. And in that process, a lot of my lights had, you know, burnt out. Half of them didn't work, so I just chucked them all. I got rid of them. The nets were all, you know, tangled up and stuff.
And they're cheap.
I'll buy them anew. No, yeah, they're not cheap.
No, they're not.
They're not cheap.
I get cheap ones.
So, well, it depends on how many you want to get. Because I wanted to, I had a lot. I had thousands of lights. So I went and I found the kind that I wanted. And this time I want to get LED so it stops tripping the circuit breakers and all that stuff. And all the ones that I wanted to get, they were sold out at the places I went to. I went to like Lowe's. I went to, you know, I went to Walmart. I went to Ace Hardware. I went to Target. And sure enough, so I got to figure out where the hell to get them. So,
okay, same problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slightly different. Last year, about a year ago, I moved. And so I didn't do any holiday decorations last year. I had nothing up on my house. I was getting out of the old place and wasn't really into the new place and by the time Christmas rolled around. So I didn't do any decorations. So this year, I had to start from scratch. So I went to Lowe's where they were having a sale on GE lights yesterday. Mm-hmm. And half of the shelves were bare. And the other half had a decent amount of selection. This was the Lowe's in Plymouth Meeting, right near your Target, Kathy.
Ooh, did you have fun?
I did. I had a great time.
Okay.
Except that I had a terrible time, and I hated all the people that were in the same places that I was, because they were driving me nuts. What I didn't realize is the white lights now, there are some where there's a little pre-select button where you can change so it's not just bright LED. They can go to the soft white glow, which I thought was actually pretty cool.
You can go to the warm or cool white lights, and you can change them when you want
I love that because I love the warm. That's the thing. When the incandescent light, or when the LED lights first came out, there was an antiseptic.
Well, they have a bluish hue to them. Yeah,
wasn't a big fan. Yeah. I like that warm yellow light. They've nailed it now. It's perfect.
What I'm looking for are warm LED twinkling lights.
Oh, you need twinkling.
I want twinkling. Is that too much to
it's
ask?
Not.
No. But they were sold out everywhere I went. So.
Are you looking for the mesh that goes over the bushes or a linear so that you can do an inline three or four sets?
I'm not going to do nets. I'm going to do the regular. But I want to get ones that come in strands of 200 or 300 if I can. So.
Press. So I was just talking to Nick this morning about this. I went to Michael's yesterday four times.
Wow,
four times. Three in Plymouth Meeting, one time in King of Prussia.
Did you keep forgetting things?
Well, so yeah, and then didn't have enough and had to go back again. And the last time, the third time I went, I bought out the red lights that I was getting, and I knew they didn't have any left. Because I bought the rest of the boxes. So then we needed a few more strands, and I had to go out to King of Prussia. But, four times, same store.
All right, here's the deal. If you're going to put lights up in front of your home, please don't, just go all the way, all right? There's a house near my house where they literally have one strand of lights that wraps around a tree in the front yard. And it's not even nicely wrapped around. It looks
they just threw it at it.
It looks like they handed it to a 4-year-old and said, "Here, wrap this around the tree."
Or did they just put the lights in the ground and wait for the tree to grow up through it?
I'll take a picture of it for you just so you can see what I'm talking about. But that's literally the only strand of lights they have up in their whole yard.
You can do a tastefully done one tree if you want to be very quiet about it.
It's not tasteful.
You should have a little presentation though.
Maybe they did have a 4-year-old do it. Maybe it was
okay. Maybe I don't. Think that they have a 4-year-old.
Maybe that Gump kid did it.
Yeah. When I was in college, they had I lived on a house on Main Street in Collegeville, and they had a sorority and fraternity house lighting contest. And we just threw a strand of lights out the window, and that was it. Like that, but we were trying to be terrible. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, if you're not trying to be terrible, then just put an effort into it.
By the way, somebody texted and said, "What about Amazon, you goofball?"
Oh, yeah. Dude.
What, you think I didn't do that? Trust me, they didn't have them.
You goofball.
They didn't have it. I'm such a goofball.
I'll tell you this.
I tried a whole bunch of different online places and couldn't find
them. You tried the dollar store?
No.
I
wouldn't.
Do you know? No?
I've never gotten anything of any quality from the dollar store.
You wouldn't use Flamo brand Christmas lights? So, Preston, for the first time, I jumped on it on Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving couple of days off. I did about 80% of the decoration and got the lights that I wanted. But for the first time ever, when a light goes out in a strand or whatever and the lights go out, you're like... just replace the fuses. That's a bunch of crap. It never works. But something possessed me. All right. Let me get the fuse on another piece of crap lights that this strand went out and see if I can replace it into the new one.
And I'm literally there with a full-blown scowl on my face with my little thing, putting the fuse in.
Yep.
I closed the compartment because I had it all wired around the tree and all set to go. And the lights came on.
It worked.
And I'm like, oh! And I literally went, oh, my God! Yeah. At the top of because they never work. The lights are so – they're meant to break. They sure. want you to buy as many – I mean – at the end of the season, a lot of times I'll just throw them away because either a number of bulbs are broken or they're just not working right. And so that's how they get you. They want you to keep buying and buying and buying.
Press, this is going to take a little bit of effort on your part, but if you go to an employee, if you go to Walmart, you're looking for these lights, you go to an employee, they can scan it and tell you which store has them.
Right, right.
But yeah. if none of the stores have them, you're still screwed.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there might be some. Like the lights that I was looking for, they told me they're at a different store.
Right. May I suggest something?
Yeah.
Go online and don't go look under what is called commercial Christmas decorations
mm-hmm.
for businesses. A lot of times.
You can buy them in bulk or.
You can do that, or yeah. you can buy things that like a mall would buy. to decorate, and it's not stuff you're going to find on the consumer end.
Casey, your neighbor that has one strand of lights is on the phone line.
I don't think this is him.
Okay, let's find out. Let's go to Ed. Hey, Ed.
How you doing, guys?
Good. So are you the one?
Yeah, why? I mean, my kid put him up. What's his problem?
No, it's not him.
Was your kid who you love more than anything on earth, and you said, Daddy, can I decorate the tree? And you let him do it, and now Casey's ripping you apart, right?
It's not my house. It's just my way to get on the show.
All right, thanks,
Ed. And I did it.
You did it. It worked.
Congratulations. somebody's asking if I tried Costco. Yeah, my wife went by Costco. She didn't find what we were.
So you're looking for twinkling white lights.
Yeah, probably A1s, though. Somebody had texted in, they found A6s, but that's the size.
So here's, like, I brought this archway that's down in front of my house. It's like an evergreen archway, and it's got, the lights already through it. I knew that eventually one of those strands of lights in this pre-lit thing were going to go out, because they always do. So I keep like five or six now, they're not the blinking ones, which I agree. I love that. Mm-hmm. But the blinking ones are always problematic. But I always have like a patch set of white lights because
right.
a part of it's going to go out.
Sure.
Yep. So you always have to restring it.
All right, Kathy, at the risk of opening a can of worms, where is the best place to buy greenery, garland, that kind of stuff? And not a big box store.
Yeah. Well, Nick, I just made this huge potted plant.
I don't
want to
make it.
Well, you don't have to, but I'm just saying I just made
She's
this huge
sell it to you.
Potted plant. Yeah, for double what I
for
paid
$2,000.
It might be a little bit of a drive for you, but out Floral and Hardy out in Skipback. I mean, that's what they sell. But there's probably, I'll look for one. There's got to be one that's closer for you.
All right.
Yeah. And the reason that I'm doing lights this year is because my daughter has had it with the last couple of years of us not decorating.
Really?
And she laid down the law.
And what? She's going to like this year more than ever. My wife has done a phenomenal job in the house of decorating. We're ahead of this. I have my 5-foot nutcracker by the front of the door and the whole thing.
Yeah.
I know it's a little crazy.
I love it though.
But sometimes, and you believe the way that I do, Preston, set up early and enjoy it for a while, because why do it just 2 weeks before and you're taking it down right after that?
I was really bummed out that yesterday, Kathy, even though it was a lousy and rainy day, it was mild temperature-wise, and I wanted to get all that stuff and just go put it up.
Yeah.
Get it done mm-hmm. with. It's going to be great, and that's not going to happen now.
It really ruined a lot of activities.
No, listen, and I appreciate the work that you... That Steve, that you put in and that anybody puts in, I really do appreciate it, because I did it before and I know what a pain in the ass, and I won't do it anymore because I just had a really rough go 1 year. I was, new homeowner. I had done it the previous years. My neighbor and I, we were kind of going back and forth and competing against one another. And I had spent hours and hours and hours. I was on the roof and doing this and that. And then a strand goes out. I'm like, I'm not... And, and one strain goes out, and then it all looks terrible. And I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore, man.
Well, I finally, what made me decide, besides my daughter, we were at Ace Hardware, and we're walking through, and I saw an extender, a telescoping pole.
Oh,
essentially,
I saw that.
With a little clip on the end of it.
Like it took forever for someone to come up with this.
Right?
Yeah.
It
should have been years ago this should have existed.
I used to use I had like an extended light bulb changer that I would just kind of try to lay the light strand on and get it up in the trees, and it was stupid.
Why don't you do the safe thing, which is stand at the absolute top step of a stepladder and reach out?
Sure. Is that what you did?
Yeah, no.
So it also has the clips so that you can put the lights up, the strands on the eaves of the house.
It works?
And I haven't used it yet. Okay.
They do work. So I know a lot of patches and tricks. Like I have things you can hide a lot with if you buy additional welcome mats and lay them down over wires that are running. So I have those around, which covers. If you can, obviously outside, get your brown extension cords. It blends in with the dirt and so on and so forth.
I have green ones.
Green ones as well. Mm-hmm. All these little things. But ultimately, you know, once the lights come on, I had the great experience this year, Preston. I did all of my design in broad daylight. It was the cold days leading up to Thanksgiving, but I had it all set up and I put it on the timer. I drove away. I went and had the Thanksgiving dinner. And when I came back, everything had come on and I nailed it.
Well, so that's cool, Steve, because this is my first year in this house. So what I don't know at all is the mapping out of all of it.
Yeah.
You know, like where am I going to plug this strand in and which, because some years you can leave, you know, nails around the doorway for strings to go, you know, strings of light to go the next year.
If you need any consultation, I'll help you out.
All right.
Have you ever set up an entire strand of lights and realized the wrong you did it in the wrong
the
direction?
The wrong way!
Yes. The wrong direction.
That was a mistake I did
plug it in
years ago.
Yeah.
And I never do that. You know what, by the way? A lot of the spools are spooled when you get the spool of lights the wrong way.
Really?
Yeah, so you'll have...
What the hell?
You'll have the wrong side, and you've got to pull it all off and then do it. Like, they're setting you up for the fall.
Oh, man, I bought spools yesterday.
Well, make sure your spools were spooled correctly, or you're going to want to die.
You know what I did the 1 year? The year after all that, the light fiasco on the roof of my house happened, is I was like, you know what? I'm just going to... And I thought it actually looked kind of cool. I just did the outline of my yard, right? So yeah. I didn't put anything up in the house.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah, and I like that. Maybe I'll do that. But I definitely can't get on my roof.
I have a fence now for the first time around the front of the yard, and ooh, I was able to do my string my lights.
Do you do garland and stuff like that?
No, because garland is a little too tempting to be torn off if someone's passing, but the lights are, you know, I weave them in and out of the different bars of the thing, and it looks very nice. I think it does.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, like all that. And a little... You can do a lot with, you don't even need a lot of lights, a couple of floodlights in different areas.
Why
lighting different things will take care of a lot.
I have a nativity set that I set up, and it's not like a full-on nativity. What it is it's, you know, basically like...
Jesus?
No, it's...
Stephen Hawking.
No, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
manger?
It's no.
Jewish?
It's not actual figures. It's just
silhouettes.
Silhouettes.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I have a 14-foot artificial tree with lights in it, and I have a 200-pound fiberglass Santa. I go a little crazy, but I love it.
Speaking of the tree thing, Steve, there's a company. So you have 9 cats in your house.
Yes.
And some cats like to play with stuff in the lower branches. There is a company that has come up with a rather strange solution. It is a half Christmas tree. And you can find it in the Argos catalog. It's basically a faux tree with the bottom half missing.
It's kind of funny.
I haven't seen this yet, but the online listing for the tree notes that it keeps Christmas ornaments away from the cats and kids and offers plenty of room to stack presents underneath. Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Well, you know, there's also the inverted tree.
It's stupid looking. We're looking at it now.
There is the inverted tree, which we were talking about last year, which is a thing.
They have them. I've seen them.
Which is, it's an old Victorian way of doing it, where the pointed part of the tree is at the bottom, and it's you know, it gets luster as you go towards the top. But have you seen the latest trend, Preston?
No.
In Christmas trees?
Is it?
Black Christmas trees.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
No. Please explain.
So the tree itself is artificially made black, or it's an artificial tree that's black. But a lot of people love it because it really makes the lights and decorations pop more.
I've not seen that.
It looks a little satanic to me.
Huh.
But here's a black Christmas tree.
I can't tell much of a difference in this, but it just you know, I'm so used to seeing a Christmas tree as green that just looks like really, really dark green
to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I know
that could be pretty.
Chuck has turned a ladder into a tree. You guys have seen. I think we might have talked about that last year.
Yeah. My mom used to do a thing. So where we had our Christmas tree, we had a formal living room that went into the regular, you know, living room.
Mm.
And it was there were French doors and they would open up. So it was a doorway in between each of those rooms. And we would put the tree in that doorway.
Okay.
And then the half that faced the regular living room where us, the kids, would all spend their time was done up in reds and greens and all the fun and festive colors. And on the other side for the formal living room, it was all done in like mauve and all these pastel colors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mom would split it. She had
a schizophrenic tree.
One side that was more, you know, festive, as I said, and then the other side was more
adult-like.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
For dinner party. Did you?
I hated that.
Oh. That takes a lot of work to do it, to have an even divide, too.
My mom was an interior designer.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Thing, yeah.
I have not
show off, right?
I haven't. Normally, I have a tree up by now, but I just haven't been able to get to the Pine Barrens to pick up my tree yet.
Got to go running in with a chainsaw while somebody looks out for state troopers.
My parents, for the first time in 40-plus years, are not doing a tree this year because they are traveling on Christmas. And I was hurt to hear that my mom loves doing the Christmas tree every year, but they're going to be away this year, so my mom decided not to do it. And I was like, well, you could have it up beforehand, you know, and when the kids come over, grandkids and whatever. I was surprised, but they made that call.
You just brought up something that probably already exists, because any great idea, I could not have a great idea that would make money. It's just against my grain. But a travel Christmas tree for people who are on the road a
like
lot.
Like an umbrella kind of thing?
Like you set up in like if you're in a hotel room or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a little travel Christmas tree that you can take out and open up wherever you are.
Okay.
You know? So something, just to really drive home the point that you're alone and no one loves you.
Something that could fit
in your bag, yeah. Your bag.
Well, I mean, no, some people take family trips over vacation.
Sure.
You know?
A little travel Christmas tree.
I've been pushing for that. I want an island Christmas thing really bad.
I've said it many times. Is one of my best Christmases ever was to Mexico. And it was that was our family vacation. I mean, that was our family Christmas present that year. We all went to Cabo, and it was phenomenal.
How old were you at the time?
I was 20.
Okay.
20 or 21. And my brothers were still old enough to, you know, to appreciate Christmas, and we're excited that Santa was coming, so that we all got that trip together. It was pretty amazing.
Okay.
We did Mexico for Thanksgiving one year. I mean, that's a little bit different. You don't have to worry about Santa coming, but right. It was probably the best Thanksgiving we've had.
What island, Preston?
I don't any island.
Yeah.
Somewhere warm.
Long
somewhere
Island?
Away from here.
Long Island.
Tropical.
Okay.
Is what I'm going for. That's exactly what I want.
We're going to Staten Island.
Yeah.
it's gorgeous here. I can see the Gothel's Bridge.
Hang on, these people have been on hold for a while. Let me go to Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning. Now, I almost don't want Joe to tell me this. He's going to tell me where I can get my lights, and I'll be gone in a heartbeat, probably.
No, listen, there's a place called Strathman's Ace Hardware. It's up here in Bucks County, 2nd Street Pike.
He's not going to go there.
Street Road.
Yeah.
Too far away from me.
Yeah, well, I was going to tell you the store that's on my holiday activity list. Yeah. You would definitely be able to find it. But you're not going to go to 2nd Street Pike in Bucks County for it.
Well, I was going to say, it's out of the way. This place looks like a Christmas factory blew up
okay.
inside of it.
Okay.
They got so many lights.
And it's called Strathman's Ace Hardware?
Strathman's Ace Hardware, Strathman.
All right. If I keep striking out, I'll drive.
If you can call and have Joe. Them put them aside and then, you know, drive over. It's only 7 hours.
Yeah, that's all. No, it's not that far.
Well, 2nd Street Pike during rush hour is so much fun.
Is it?
It's got
to
be.
Can't wait to get over there. But no, I was surprised at how sold it, because I went into Lowe's and I'm like, you know, they have all the displays of the different types, and I'm looking all over the shelves, I can't find them. And I go, the guy was just kind of like, before I even finish what I'm saying, he's like, we don't have any.
Get out of here.
No, but he was nice about it. He's like, no, we're sold out. It's been gone.
So to put it in perspective, all right, so you start searching, and they're saying that there's been a massive uptick in people deciding to decorate outside and inside. So on Amazon, I go to get one of those projectors that does the large snowflakes on the side of the house because I think it'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of them there, but the exact one I want was now. This is just a regular light that sits on your front lawn and projects on the side of the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
$999.
What?
And a compatible one, you know, is like $35.
Dude, like I told you,
they just jack it up through the ceiling.
Like I told you that I wanted the leaping arches, and they were like $800 a piece.
And you and know they're not $800.
There's no way in hell I'm paying that kind of money.
Steve, I was looking at those, like it's like a decorative village, right?
Yeah.
You can buy the hardware store and you can buy the clock tower and all that stuff. And they are kind of cute looking and you know, starting from scratch, you have to buy one at a time, but they start at like $60 and $70. And then if you wanted multiples, you're going to spend $1,000 easy.
We have probably about 100 of those pieces. Like we could set up a huge village of those.
And what do you do with them?
We haven't set them up in a while because we're still getting a feel of the house, but yeah. We'll start to eventually do it. But those are collector's items, a lot of them. And they for the original ones that you're talking about, the price has gone way up.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, I was going to talk about something completely different that had to do with Walmart, but I'll have to get to that eventually. I just wanted to kick off with the story. That
you need blinking lights.
Wandering. I need some blinking lights, man. And twinkling.
Twinkling.
Twinklers.
Blinking lights.
Twinkling white lights.
Twinkling. Well, here you go. I need LED warm white twinkling lights.
Given that's to you for free.
No.
Feel free to drop here. Them off.
No, actually,
in return for free commercials.
You know
is
what
that illegal?
What I did buy online, I did order, and these were a little pricey, and I forgot what they're called, but they're lengthy. They're probably about, I don't know, 6 inches long or so. Each one of these lights, they hang on a strand. 8 of them come on a strand. And you hang them in the tree, and they do this little drip down.
Yeah.
Oh. Have you seen those?
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so I bought 4 sets of those, and I've driven by houses that have them. Like, that's pretty cool.
Take regular lights and just scissor through a couple of them, and they'll start sparking.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The tree will set on fire.
Preston, do you, is there anybody in your neighborhood that has these lights that you're looking for?
No, not that I've seen.
You think steal those, yeah.
There's one street in my neighborhood, and it's probably, I don't know, 40 homes down this one street or
right.
something like that. And everyone there years ago agreed that they would all decorate exclusively with white lights. I'll take a video of it sometime. The entire, once they're all lit up, it's pretty impressive.
Nice. If you were to live in
both
a neighborhood.
Both sides of the street, all these homes have white lights all the way down the
that'd
road.
That'd be it's awesome. Cool. Yeah. Imagine if you lived in a row, Preston, if you were on a street with like 5 or 6 houses in a row and you had a continuing display across all 6 houses.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. By the way, people are texting in all, calling in that Feeney's is a place.
That's what's on my list.
Is that on your list?
Yeah, that was the place.
That's on your holiday activity list?
Yeah.
You do what?
I mean, it's, Preston, anything you need.
Where
anything.
Is it?
That's what's out in Bucks County.
Oh, that's, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Conveniently located near nowhere.
Now, I'm going there again, so I can check for the lights for you.
But okay. She says Feeney's has got absolutely everything.
When are you going?
I may be going this week sometime, either today or Wednesday.
Would you like to drive in a car with a deer head in the grill?
All right.
I'll check for you, though.
All right, thank you. All right, well, listen, let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. George Takei is going to be on the show in a little while. Joe Matarese as well. We'll have more guests. We'll stay. Stick around. You'll find out who they are. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get them a gift card from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free. All at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to try to spend the next 10 or 15 minutes acting intelligent if we can, because our next guest is a professor of legal studies and business ethics at the Wharton School. And he's here to speak about his book is called The Blockchain and the Architecture of Trust. This focuses on understanding cryptocurrency.
Yes, Bitcoin. Which, of course, we've displayed our incredible understanding of this.
And the blockchain, which I've never even heard of before. So let's find out.
I thought that's where they rent videotapes.
No, that's Blockbuster.
Oh, there we go.
So
see?
That's where we are. We would like to welcome Kevin Warbach to the program this morning. Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. No problem, man. So your book is out. It came out on the 22nd, I believe you said.
20th, yeah.
Do you... when you try to explain these concepts to people who have no idea what they're about, is it a difficult thing for to get people to understand, you know, the basic idea of what cryptocurrency is?
For the vagaries?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got to start at the beginning, and that's why I focus on this idea of trust. So people get caught up in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and these things as a new form of money.
Yes.
But you got to start more basic. The issue is, how can you trust in a transaction if you don't have to trust in a bank or a government or some intermediary? So blockchain is a fundamental technology that says you can exchange value, whether it's money or assets, anything else, and trust that transaction without having to trust anyone else. You just trust the system as a whole.
So we're going to now take it back to just out of the uterus level for us because and I understand the importance of having somebody who is governing the rate and ensuring how things are transacted and that your money is worth what it is when you make the transaction. Explain why cryptocurrency is not that. How is purchasing done? If who's setting the value of this cryptocurrency, and how can you purchase stuff with something that has no governing body determining? I mean, I know we're not talking about like the barter system. I'll give you a chicken for that seat. So how does cryptocurrency work when there is none of that?
Right. Well, let me turn it around. You take a green piece of paper and go to a Wawa and you get something really valuable like a hoagie for it.
Right.
Why do they take that crumpled green piece of paper?
That is a good point. And I was about to bring up, I have cash in my wallet. Why is it important? Why is it worth it? I have no idea. I just know that it is, that I can use it to get things.
Yeah. In theory, is it not backed? It's backed by
gold.
Gold.
No, it's used not anymore. No, okay. It's the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. What does that mean? Right? It's trust. It's you trust that if you give that dollar to someone, they'll be able to give it to someone else. They'll still get value for it. It's belief in the whole system. At some level, it's faith in the U.S. government, the system underlying it, but it's basically trust that that is still valuable. So you can do that in other ways. Cryptocurrency uses a set of technologies, a set of computer algorithms that are public. They're open source. Anyone could look at them. They're run on a network of computers. And based on that, you can actually have the same kind of confidence that if you've got a Bitcoin, that no one else has spent that Bitcoin, that you can trade and get value for it in the same way as traditional currency.
So it is very much akin then to almost like a barter, or since you're saying
it's not barter, it's money.
It's money. Okay. So you purchase let's say the equivalent of $1,000 worth of Bitcoin. At any given day, it will fluctuate, correct?
Supply and demand.
How dramatic a fluctuation can occur with Bitcoin?
Huge. So that's the issue. There's been massive volatility. So people got into a speculative frenzy. Last year, the price shot up from about $600 or $700 up to $20,000 for one Bitcoin. Then it plummeted. Now it's back down around $4,000. But again, that's just a marketplace. That's people going and buying this thinking it's going to appreciate. And the problem was people got too caught up in the technology as opposed to what it's actually getting used for.
It's very ephemeral then.
Well, no, it's not that it's ephemeral. It's that the uses are still new. This blockchain technology is still fairly immature, still being developed. The use cases are still somewhat uncertain. So people got excited. It's like the internet 20 years ago. Everyone was like, the dot-com bubble, all these things are going to go to the moon.
Right.
And every one of those ideas, pretty much, remember pets.com and all these other things that crashed, Webvan, almost all of those things, you look now today, people have done those same things and have multi-billion dollar businesses. They were just too early.
Let me ask you this question. So you say a Bitcoin is worth X amount of money. So you have something here that's currency that's worth a different kind of currency. So will we eventually get to a point where Bitcoin has its own worth as opposed to being worth cash? You know what I mean?
See what I mean? Good. So this is very smart. This is what economists call a unit of account.
Okay.
So that is a nature. If it is money, if it truly is money and functions as a currency, then ultimately, yeah, things would be denominated in Bitcoin.
Right.
So that's a good point. That's evidence that we are immature here. that people think about everything still in dollar terms.
Yeah.
And again, that's just one piece of it. Bitcoin does not have to take off as the way people pay for everything for this technology to grow. Because again, this blockchain technology is much more general. It's getting used for applications. It's getting used by lots of companies for things like supply chain management. Anytime companies need to work together, they need to collaborate, they don't trust each other. And so essentially what this does, it creates a decentralized kind of database where they can all share data. And so the uses for money, things like cryptocurrency, is just even one small piece of this whole transformation.
I think part of the problem with cryptocurrency and Bitcoin in particular was that last year, some of the people that were touting its virtues, some of the people that were saying this is the next big thing, were not necessarily the most reliable sources. You know, it was like the kid at the rock gym who thought he knew what he was talking about. And you're like, I'm not going to trust this guy. And so that was based on sort of the speculation and pie in the sky dreams. Is that accurate?
Oh, yeah. So the SEC just fined Floyd Mayweather, the boxer, and DJ Khaled because they were touting one of these cryptocurrency, what are called ICOs, these token offerings. Say, you're going to get rich buying these things without even disclosing that they were being paid for that. So, yeah, the problem is there was this Wild West environment. There was not regulation, and people were just thinking, because it's a new technology, that anyone can do anything, which led to tons and tons of fraud.
Is there more regulation now?
It's coming in, absolutely.
Okay. So to that point, Kevin, so you have forgive me, but I've got to get to the bottom of this.
Mm-hmm.
Will it serve more? Is it more appealing on the business end, on the corporate end, to the regular consumer, or does it have more applications perhaps as investing in it as a savings deal for down the road? With the same way people would invest in gold, you could invest in cryptocurrency as a possible way to keep your investment and watch it grow, hopefully.
Right. No, this is great. You guys are smarter than you think. So economists say money or currency has three properties. One is a medium of exchange. That's buying things.
Right.
One is a unit of account, which I was just talking about with Preston. The other is what's called a store of value. So something that keeps its value independent of what happens to other markets and government policies and so forth. So, yeah, there are people buying cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin as a kind of a hedge. The problem is because of all this volatility, because there's so much crazy speculation and lots of fraud going on that's manipulating the price, it's not really holding its value very well. So that's in the future. That's the potential.
So you would not recommend it right now as something you need? Would you prefer to see it stabilize more before people got involved with it? Or is it a risky proposition? Let's say that.
It's a risky proposition. I'm not recommending investments at all.
Yeah.
If you are going to invest in a cryptocurrency as an investment, should be a small part of your portfolio, should be diversified, should be money you can afford to lose.
Okay.
So it has a lot of potential. But right now, again, because of all of the uncertainty and the lack of regulation and so forth, we're still really not at the point where we know where these things are going.
So Bitcoin, we keep mentioning, how many different cryptocurrencies are there?
Several thousand.
Several thousand. Okay. And Casey, you've invested in Bitcoin?
I have three. I have Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Ripple. I guess those are the big three. Litecoin is another one. So, but again, it was money that when I invested it, it wasn't a huge sum of money, but it was money that I felt like, all right, if I invest all of this in 50 years from now, you know, it could be worth something. And if it completely just disappears into the ether, then it's not going to ruin me, not even a little bit.
To that point, if you do have a little bit to play with, would you recommend, you know, or I don't want you to have to give advice, but is it a valid thing to invest in? If
sure,
he's going to say,
sure.
Hey, why not?
It's you should always know what you're investing in.
Yeah.
You should have some investment thesis, some idea, other than just, you know, my friend Louis told me this would be cool or some boxer told me. If you have some understanding, you don't necessarily need to understand all of the deep technology of it. But you've got some basis for understanding what you're doing, and then you reassess. So if I thought Bitcoin was worth buying a year ago, did anything change? The price went down, but did anything change about my fundamental story? That's what you should think about. But again, it's just there's so much regulation that's coming. There's going to be a lot more enforcement action. There's a lot more happening also with institutions building this up. So the other piece of this is big financial services companies are starting to trade these cryptocurrencies, creating derivatives, doing them on institutional exchanges. So that's all starting to happen as well. And that actually will kind of smooth this out somewhat.
Okay.
There really are no get-rich-quick schemes that in the long run pay out. You can have a flash investment on something where it's going to maybe pay off for you if you're lucky or you come in at the right time, right? But I mean, I think that was another part of the issue with people investing in cryptocurrency and Bitcoin was that they looked at it as a get rich quick kind of a scheme.
Yeah, absolutely. You can get lucky. I mean, I think that, again, the big picture when we look back at this, it's not going to be about people getting rich on Bitcoin. It's going to be about this new form of payments. It's global. It works really well if you need to move money internationally. And this blockchain infrastructure for business transactions, in the long run, that's going to be the big deal.
So will there come a point in time where you will go and you'll see online, you'll have a dollar amount and a Bitcoin amount, you know, and excuse my ignorance here, but how will that play out to the consumer who has Bitcoin at the ready?
It's going to be behind the scenes. The point is, it's valuable anytime you need this kind of decentralized global currency. But what we don't have yet is the infrastructure that makes it convenient and familiar for ordinary people. And so, yeah, all of that complexity is going to be hidden. No one wants to deal with thousands of cryptocurrencies and understanding what all of them are.
Right.
So who is your book for? Somebody who's interested in what it all means, or somebody who is interested in investing? Who do you recommend pick it up?
Yeah, multiple audiences, but basically I had a lot of people asking me the same kind of question that you were. What is this thing? Like I keep hearing about it, I just don't get it. And so it's designed for a general audience to understand what does it actually mean that you can trust these transactions, even though there's no government issuing the currency. What is the nature of the trust it creates? What is this basic phenomenon? What's it useful for? And then it looks at what the challenges are. So I focus a lot on law and regulation and governance and all these big challenges for these things to scale going forward.
Well, you're a professor at Wharton. How much of this is part of curriculum now, understanding this cryptocurrency stuff?
Yeah, I'm teaching a class now about it. We had overwhelming demand. We had to turn a couple hundred students away. We've got 650 students in the Penn Blockchain Club. There are all kinds of companies that are interested in this. I have alumni calling me up every week saying I'm doing this for, you know, financial services firms, big enterprises, auditors, everyone. And they're interested in the technology.
Yeah. So it's coming. We're just not there yet.
Yeah. It's like the internet. It takes a long time to unfold. This is a deep transformation.
All right.
So that's really what it is.
Interesting. Wow.
And I did have a question about, like, the differences between Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, Litecoin. What are their actual practical uses?
So each of them has a different market goal. Bitcoin was designed to be money. Bitcoin was designed to be a decentralized form of money that had no governments involved that you could use for payments. Ether, which is the second biggest one, they actually designed that to build applications. They're building a global scale distributed computing platform that you can actually run internet type applications on top of.
So if you own an Ether, what do you own?
So again, you can trade it like anything else, buy and sell. That's the price fluctuates. The goal, the function of Ether is actually to pay for what's called gas. It's actually to pay for computing power on that network. But yeah, you can buy it for money and sell.
Okay, now I'm starting to see a little bit. So it's like Xbox dollars in an app when you buy their currency, you know, to pay for something. It's not much different than that. You're using it within the environment, that environment. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had private money for thousands of years.
Right.
So the issue is just this is a form of this kind of private money which is global, which doesn't just work in a private environment, right? The game currency is only valuable in the game.
You're not going to be using like that to purchase Twizzlers. It's becoming a little clearer.
But the cryptocurrencies you can potentially use anywhere.
Okay.
And actually, there's a convergence happening where the game companies are now getting into this and realize you can create digital assets, not just the currencies, but the actual virtual assets in the games across different games.
Now, there was an issue, for example, with, I think it might have been Xbox, when they had people, you know, you'd purchase Xbox points and the points didn't end up equating to dollar-wise. This is a shocker. It was benefiting Microsoft with each purchase. So the money that you thought you had, if you had $30 in which you regular currency, it was actually not worth that much in Microsoft dollars. So this is going to be a pitfall of the cryptocurrency, correct?
Again, it's the issue of trust.
Okay.
And the value of the cryptocurrencies is there's no central party that's controlling it.
Right.
So part of what happened with these ICOs, companies started issuing these tokens where they were doing a lot of funny business, where they were issuing the tokens and keeping most of them for themselves. And that's kind of gotten in the way of the fundamental value here. So, yeah, the idea is there's no Mr. Bitcoin that is in charge of that money supply. And so it fluctuates on the market, but you're not having to depend on one company like Microsoft and believe that they're treating you fairly. It decentralizes across the network.
Okay.
All right. My last question was, because you were talking, you had gone into a couple of different cryptocurrencies, but the Ripple, what is the application of Ripple?
Yeah. So Ripple's doing international payments. So Ripple is a company that wants to basically replace the system that banks use to send trillions of dollars of money around the world, which is tremendously inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got money in an account or company has money in an account, it's got to go to another country. It's got to convert to another currency, has to go through all these intermediate banks. And so they have a cryptocurrency called XRP. It's actually separate from the company Ripple, but they use this cryptocurrency as a kind of intermediary layer for moving money around the world. And the idea is blockchain creates one ledger. There's one shared ledger that everyone can see that's global. And that allows you to do these applications where potentially they can totally reinvent this process, which is just massive, moving money.
All right. One final question for me. Does this present the possibility or opportunity for something like a crash, like the cryptocurrency suddenly having no value?
Well, not no value.
Yeah.
The value can go up and down, and it's plummeted a lot.
Right.
There's no value if there's no trust. So what has happened is Bitcoin has been around for 10 years now. And it's since a few early times when it was just getting started, never been successfully hacked, right? Bitcoin's worth $100 billion or so in market cap. No one has been able to undermine the security of that network. Lots of fraud around the edges and thefts once people have the currency. But people have learned that you can trust it's actually worth something. You can actually only spend a Bitcoin once. And that's true of these other cryptocurrencies as well. So for it to go to zero, the basic trust in this blockchain architecture would have to be undermined. And that's only getting reinforced more and more.
Make it down a little less
than what it is now. Again,
okay.
I'm not saying the price is going to stay where it is today, not going to zero.
All right. Fascinating. I'm a little bit better on it. How about you?
It's complex. No, I have no idea. I have no idea. Thank you. Valiant effort, sir.
Did my best.
But I'm sure that many people got something out of it, but it's hard for me to follow. But it is fascinating stuff, and it's something to keep an eye on, obviously. By the way, Kevin's book is called The Blockchain and the Architecture of Trust. You can get that on Wharton's Digital Press website for $22 if you want to delve into more about what it all means and what it means to you. So thanks for coming by, Kevin. It's interesting, eye-opening things.
Glad to do it.
Only my eye opened like that much,
yes.
And that was about
still
it.
Still a little bit of glaucoma.
I appreciate it. For you, Penn, from Wharton, please give some love to Kevin Warbach.
Yes.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. Now, we're going to segue into a different guest. He's going to talk about essentially the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's going to clarify what Kevin was unable to get to. He'll round it out.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's talking about a fundraising comedy show that's coming up Saturday, and it's going to be at Cherokee High School. We welcome back our good friend, Mr. Joe Matarese.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Joe, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Joe came into the studio like William the Refrigerator Perry.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? He dropped all his CCTs.
That's great. That's great. I was hoping for a good Bitcoin explanation. It's funny. That does come up a lot.
Right?
Like, Bitcoin,
I was just asking somebody last week. I'm like, because I had a friend who was like mining it in his basement with these computers going. And
yeah.
He had to protect it so it didn't get, if it would have rained, you know, if he would have got water coming out of his, it would have ruined the mine. He had these, it was like,
Do you understand it? I mean, with what he was saying, I sort of get that now that you have sort of companies in a particular realm will agree that we now have this currency that is worth this amount.
And
to his point, that when you go into Wawa and you have paper money, we used to believe that at Fort Knox there was a gold equivalent to the money that we were exchanging, and that was worth something. That's no longer, has not been the case for a long time. So who ensures what the value of that money is? And that's cryptocurrency is another version of it.
Right. I was just dying that you like tried to connect it to Xbox and Twizzlers.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah. That's my language.
That must never come up in a Bitcoin meeting.
Not in Wharton, it doesn't. Yeah. But how are you doing it, and what is this charity you're involved with?
Well, I got to be honest right at the top. They told me not to mention it being a fundraiser.
Really?
Just because, they don't want people to think if they're not in that school district that they shouldn't come and support this show that I'm doing this Saturday, because it's technically just, you know, in a, it's in a theater.
It's a comedy show.
So it's like anyone can come and see it.
Yeah.
And it's at a high school that's like 10 minutes from where I grew up. They have a big 1,400-seat theater there, Cherokee High School Performing Arts Center in Marlton, New Jersey.
So that's a legitimate room.
It's a legitimate room. Yeah, and I'm there this Saturday. We're, you know, it's December, so it's a month where a lot of people have a lot of stuff going on. So I'm hoping you can just take time off from from going to your stupid Christmas parties and come to my show this Saturday.
There you go. That's the way to sell it. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a bad salesman. I've realized it.
Give
I'm
up your stupid Christmas party and come see my show.
Yeah. Or just leave your Christmas party early.
Yeah.
And come to this.
Is it you solo, or do you have anybody else on the bill?
It's me solo. You know what's funny? I'm so last minute. I have to find an opening act.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's at a high school, and they want it to be somebody super clean. And I'm like, okay, I got to find somebody. Because I had somebody in mind. That it's a friend of mine in New York who was an SNL writer.
Yeah.
And then I went and saw his set. I hadn't seen it in a while because he was living in L.A. I was like, dude, you're filthy. There's no way you can do this. I said, good news is you're hilarious. Bad news is you're off the gig.
Right. How often are you requested to work clean?
I'd say less than more.
Okay.
But you know, with when you're at a high school and you know they want to open it up to some students, I guess they want to let the seniors come.
Oh.
And then all the, you know, with all the things that are going on in our world now, it's like they don't want the comedian going up. You can't acknowledge a lot of the things that are going on now,
right?
Which is hard for a comedian because that's what we talk about.
You know, right,
what's
right.
Going on. They're like, all right, can you not talk about that? Don't talk about, like, where was I recently? I remember I did a gig in Penn State and they're like, you can't mention anything. And I'm like, how do I not mention that? It's so funny to me.
Yeah,
I remember my because I did a joke the first night.
Yeah.
That's what it was. The first night I'm there, I said, where Sandusky live? Because I'm sure it's the house that has the best lawn and bushes from all the tears all over the lawn. And they were like, well, you can't do that. I'm like, all right, I get it. All right, I shouldn't have done that. But those things just come out of your mouth.
Right,
you're
right.
At Penn State, how do you not mention the biggest
the
news
thing.
Story, the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
But you're, I mean, you have a smack. It's all over. You have something for everyone. Not to sound like Disneyland or something, but you've got.
I think in the, you know, as I'm here with Christmas presents for you guys in front of me, which is my last 1 hour special that you guys really helped me with. I brought some of the specials,
man.
And I brought some tour T-shirts. I'm gonna give to you guys, and then I have my last special here too. They're on Amazon Prime now. But I brought some for you guys. But I find with my last 2 1-hour specials have been a lot about me. And I've hit a wall with that where I'm like, all right, I just want to talk about stuff that everybody goes on in the world. It's like, right. You know, especially I'm a comedian in New York City. If I talk about being a 51-year-old dad who lives in the suburbs, I lose 3/4 of the audience. You know,
okay.
They're a younger audience.
Yeah. We were talking about you, you know, you are very
autobiographical.
Well, you're very,
super.
But you're also very meticulous. Like Preston always brings up the story, I guess, when you did the camp out show for us.
That light's flashing over there.
Yeah. I was laughing when you were mentioning the twinkling lights.
Thing you want. Stop flashing.
I'm like, I don't want them flashing. I hate flashing. Just make them still.
Everybody's going to pay attention to the light while I'm up there doing my set.
I mean, one of your specials is called The Poster's Wrong.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean,
Rocky.
It's funny because I noticed another one.
Okay.
There's this... this guy was kind enough, and I should give him I'll give him a plug here.
Okay.
This restaurant, Bricko, in Westmont, New Jersey. I came down last night, went with my wife. I didn't bring my wife, but I went with my brother and my mom and dad and my brother and his wife and his kids. And they made a pizza, the Matarese, right? We're like, oh, my God, we're going to go. They got the Matarese on the menu. And I spelled Matarese wrong. And I'm like, I go to my brother. I go, can I bust on him? Because I got to tweet the mistake because it fits with The Poster's Wrong, how I noticed mistakes. And Rocky noticed his mistake and The Poster's Wrong hanging from the Spectrum ceiling. And
right.
He goes, just as long as you compliment him in there. And I'm like, you never know who you can slam in a text or a tweet.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, thanks for the plug. You got her name wrong. So, like, great. greatest pizza in the world, but you screwed up our name.
All right. So you support and then confront.
Yeah. I mean, Matarese gets spelled wrong more than any name you can imagine. It's always...
It's not an easy name, yeah.
No.
Did you ever consider a change, like, to Seinfeld?
My dad was asking me, because we were talking about Springsteen last night, that he thinks Springsteen, is that his real name?
That's his real name.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
I thought he was Italian. I go, I think that's his mom.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, Springsteen is his real name, right?
No. I mean, I have a bit that's on this special. I almost said famous. God, see? I'm terrible. I tried to be good at business, and then I had to ruin it.
I have a famous bit.
I have a famous bit? No, I don't. I don't have a famous bit. I don't have a famous bit.
I love the way you caught yourself.
Oh,
now.
God. But it's about going to Italy and them telling me I'm pronouncing my name wrong.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff is great. So you got the charity event. What else do you have?
It's not a charity event.
It's
Joe Matarese Live.
Joe Matarese Live. That's ridiculous. Even saying,
New Jersey. Were you here for Thanksgiving to be with family? How was that?
Oh yeah, that's 7 hours of material.
Do you do the?
I thought this was a funny tweet. No one got it.
What?
But when I said it on stage, they laughed. I said the Monday following Thanksgiving must be like the Super Bowl for a therapist.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, I don't know if you... I had so many things go wrong with my family this Thanksgiving.
So what happened?
So many classics.
Yeah.
One is like my dad's birthday falls on Thanksgiving. I got him a Amazon gift card in a card. I thought I was being a good son. And I don't know what happens to your parents when they get older. It's like they have no...
Filter.
Yeah. He just opens it and immediately goes, I would have rather had cash.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I was like, do you know today's Thanksgiving? Like, I'm like, what? I go,
I would have rather had cash.
I said, you can't give your dad cash. I mean, that you can give an 8-year-old cash.
Right. Yeah.
I said, giving an adult man cash is like you're giving him a tip.
Yeah.
You know?
I go,
thanks, dad. You know, like 15% of everything my whole life. $40. Figured it out.
How old is he now?
75.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Cash.
Yeah. It doesn't matter to him what the response. Yeah. The lack of filter is because my dad's 72, and it just does not matter anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how much was the? If I may ask,
it was a $40 Amazon card.
Given him $220s, Joe.
I should have given $220. So my dad, I said, Dad, I'm going to have to slam you because he's super religious.
Yeah.
But do you have these parents that they're so religious? But then they do things that are so not religious. Yeah. I'm like, Dad, every week if you go to a Catholic mass, it's all about it's better to receive than to give. Or it's better to give than receive, blah, 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 help people, be great. And then you go to a holiday, everybody's saying these evil, racist things. Everybody's like not appreciative of a gift.
Right.
I said, Dad, what if Jesus... would have said that when they showed up, you know, to the three wise men when they showed up with the frankincense and the myrrh, and they said, I would have rather had cash. And my dad immediately, this is how nuts he is, he goes, well, frankincense and myrrh, I mean, that's like cash. That's like cash.
Hey, they brought gold.
That is Bitcoin.
They brought gold.
That's gold.
Absolutely.
And I'm an idiot. I'm thinking myrrh is like some thing that smells nice.
What is it?
What's myrrh?
Frankincense.
Frankincense is something that smells nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Myrrh is a character on an Impractical Joke.
Yeah, that's right. Is myrrh gold?
It's a gem.
It's a gem?
A gem.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
He showed up with gems.
Why is myrrh not plural?
I think it is plural.
Is it?
That would have been hilarious if I said I got some myrrhs.
Yeah,
that's what a Guido would do. Guido from Jersey.
I got myrrhs.
Right? They pluralize everything. Yeah. I got my underwears on.
Frankincenses and myrrhs.
Underwear.
Jesus, look what I got for yous.
that happened, and oh my God, yeah. So, I don't know how your Thanksgivings were, but
mine was
filled with that. And
We had our big charity event last week, so for the whole week it was the Camp Out for Hunger. So it was
which you've played. It was the blinking light thing.
Yeah. That comes up every time I'm on there.
But in your defense, it wasn't just you, and we did it in the big room that year, which there were a ton of visual distractions, and honestly, we'd never put anything like that on before, so we didn't know how particular, not just you, but all comedians are. But
I know Joe. Uh-huh. And he's sitting there, your neuroses, I was watching it happen.
Was there any other comedians that had little incidents where they noticed things that they were like,
well,
hey,
we
you
just,
should...
we like know that. We know you, right. So it's easier to pick on you for that stuff. But like, for instance, when we did it this year, we did it in the Victory Beer Hall. And when I walked in to talk to the lighting and the sound guy at the last minute before we brought the acts on, the screens were still on in the room, and it just had our logo, the Camp Out for Hunger logo. I was like, oh, no, we can't have those on, you know? And then so I turned into Joe. I was like, hey, you're going to turn the screens off. We've got to have those screens off. We can't have any blinking lights in the room.
Well, you're learning.
Yes, I'm learning.
Oh, about presentation.
It's amazing how much little stupid stuff makes a difference.
Well, it also probably brings you back to your days when you were just getting started, where you'd be performing in a ground round, and there's a football game on in the background, and you're like, you're competing against a football game or a basketball game or hockey or baseball, whatever it is.
Right.
And you don't want to have to compete against that because you know that humans are easily distracted.
I just had one. I got this gig where I was performing at Columbia's business school.
Ah.
Which was hilarious to be because they're so smart.
They're incredibly
smart.
You
got to be kidding. Like every joke was specific. They were all students that were, getting their MBAs. And they hired me to host this comedy thing. And they hired me to teach a 2-hour workshop to all these Columbia MBA students. And they're so bright that it was ridiculous. But then I get to the show. And it was in this big, beautiful room, but they had all the lights fully on. And I go, I got my stage light in the car. You want me to go get it? And I'm like, Do you got gaff tape? You got to tape the wire to the ground. It's amazing how much better it is if you shut all the lights out and you put one light on the performer. That's all you need.
No, sure. And do you know it's one of the biggest mistakes that constantly infuriates us? Not having the right microphone.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
when you show up to an event and they have a crappy microphone.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you could have you could have the crappy sound, too. You could have the best microphone in the world if it's hooked up to the speakers that are built into the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, like at a restaurant, you know, it's fine for playing somebody's iPad.
I once did a college. I was doing a comedy show at a college, and the sound system was so terrible. I used one of those old-style conical megaphones.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, over the sound system because no one... I was like Rudy Valley. Hello, everybody. But it worked better because the one that they had was crackling and horrible. I'm like, you might as well... at least some people will hear this.
This is a great segue into getting to do comedy at the Wells Fargo Center.
Yes.
So I opened for Sebastian Maniscalco at Wells Fargo about... I guess it's been about 3 months now.
And there's a video of a clip of you on your Twitter page, by the way, that's up.
Yeah. I have videos of that all over. But it was unbelievable how genius Sebastian Maniscalco is, because I did 5 shows with him over 3 days. And this guy, when we went into Wells Fargo, I mean, he had the 18-wheeler with the full of his own crew putting his own thing in. And it's amazing that when you get to that level, what you can make better. First of all, have you been to a concert? These screens that if you want to spend the money, it doesn't look like a TV screen. It looks like a live event.
Yeah.
The screen, everyone was like, how did you do comedy in front of 18,000 people? I go, it was actually unbelievable because of he had a 360 screen.
Right.
And then we went to theaters and he had the whole backdrop was this screen. So every face you made, they would zoom in on you.
So
and
that's
the whole
his,
crowd would see it.
That's his traveling setup? That's his own?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
So he is on all cylinders.
He sold 4 shows out at the Garden.
Jesus.
Madison Square Garden, 4 in a row. Yeah, and it was... And I can't believe how it was hilarious because I opened for him in Philly. And the next day I have like 2,000 new Italian Twitter followers. It was like every Italian in New Jersey and Philly was, hey, I saw you. Good job. You were good. You know, it was hilarious. But like he had all these monitors. And when you have the monitors, it doesn't even sound echoey. I couldn't believe how great it was to perform it at Wells Fargo Center. I was like, I don't want to even do any other gig anymore. Like 2 days later, I'm at some awful bar.
And you're going, but 18,000 as well.
Oh, my God.
You're going to bring the big screen to Cherokee High School for Saturday's?
I want to.
You should. You should.
Listen, I hate to keep
me off.
We got to cut.
I want you to cut me
it's
off.
A short one today. No. We love you,
but
Joe.
I want you to.
But we got to take a break because we have some obligations that we have to get to on the other side. But
Joe is in town. He's playing. And best place to get tickets, JoeMatteries.com?
Yes, that's where Saturday. You can get them for Saturday.
Okay.
Marlton, New Jersey.
Yep, not too far from your hometown. So, yeah, they're in Evesham Township. So, JoeMatteries.com. And Matteries is spelled M-A-T-A-R-E-S-E. And what we'll do is we'll post that on our website.
It's like
on
the Preston's pizza, Preston.
And make it easy. Just like the pizza. It smells just like that pizza. But we'll make sure that that we make it easy for people to get some tickets. And go see Joe, because
he's great.
He's Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Good to see you. Joe Matarese.
Yay!
We got a break. We'll come back in a second. George Takei and some other stuff. And we'll get to the details on revealing the campout totals when we get back. Stay there.
93.3 WMMR proudly presents the return of Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. Thursday, December 20th at the brand new Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. A live broadcast with 250 super fans in the audience, each out to prove their Preston and Steve IQ in a game show style throwdown. At stake, the best and biggest giveaways of the year, plus a pile of fabulous prizes from our favorite sponsors and advertisers.
Longwood Gardens, Steven Star Restaurants, and Stock Car Racing Experience.
Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle, Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition at Parks Casino. Get lucky in no time. Listen to claim your spot in the studio audience. Details at WMMR.com.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
We love having this gentleman on. We've had the honor of having him in the studio before.
It was great.
We'll talk to him anytime at all that he wants to speak. And he is here to talk about Allegiance to Broadway. And we'll get more of the details on that when we get him on the line. Please welcome from, well, many years on Star Trek and other wonderful shows and
heroes.
So on. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. George Takei.
Hey.
Good morning, George.
Are you in Philadelphia?
We're doing wonderful in Philadelphia. George, I want to clarify Allegiance to Broadway because I've got a couple of different descriptions here. Now, number one, it's going to be in select movie theaters starting tomorrow, but it is a musical, but is it also a documentary type of film?
No. In 2015 and 2016, we played on Broadway. Allegiance is a musical based on my childhood imprisonment, unjust imprisonment, in American barbed wire prison camps, simply because we happened to look like the people that bombed Pearl Harbor.
Correct.
Pearl Harbor was bombed. We happened to be of Japanese ancestry. My mother was born in Sacramento, California. My father was a San Franciscan. They met and married in Los Angeles. Then my brother and sister and I were born here in Los Angeles. We're Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But because we happen to look like the people that bombed Pearl Harbor, we're of Japanese ancestry, this nation went crazy with war hysteria and racism. And the president of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt, a great president, got swept up by that hysteria and signed an executive order putting all Japanese Americans on the West Coast, 120,000 of us, to be rounded up with no charges. I mean, in our justice system, we have a system where if you're arrested, you have a right to know why you're being arrested.
Due process.
What?
Due process.
Due process. And then you have a right to a trial. None of that happened. Simply because we look Japanese.
Mm.
They even raided orphanages. What threat are parentless babies and, children to this government? But they raided orphanages and put us in 10 barbed wire prison camps in some of the most hellish places in this country.
I remember reading the book, your book, To the Stars.
Yes.
And you recounted a lot of this in that. And your dad, correct me if I'm wrong, was very patriotic for the United States, and
exactly,
and it was that much more painful for him, and yourself, working and providing and just living as normal citizens and being rounded up. It was certainly a blight, but your recounting of it moved you. This is always sort of a dream project of yours to get this story told in a way. There's certainly been
it's my legacy project.
Your legacy project. And now as you stand here, with this film, you're hoping, I'm sure, that more people get a chance to experience it. So will we, in fact, when we see this, see the Broadway production?
Well, the Broadway production was filmed, and that's going to be screened one night only on December 11th in 657 theaters all over the country. In Philadelphia, I'm sure there'll be at least a half a dozen theaters showing it. Just look it up and find the theater nearest you. But we also made a documentary of the building, the making of Allegiance. And that documentary will be shown for the first time this year on December 4th, 1 week before Allegiance itself.
It's a fascinating story in and of itself, the creation of the musical, because you and your husband were, Brad, were seeing a show off Broadway, as I understand it, and you happened to strike up a conversation with two gentlemen at that.
Who happened to be sitting right in front of us.
Right. Then you're at this at another theater performance.
The next night.
Yeah.
The very next night at a performance of In the Heights, we arrived at the theater. We had aisle seats, and we happened to look down the aisle before we sat down, and there were two arms waving at us from the middle of the aisle, the two same guys. And Brad whispered to me, "I think they're stalking us." The two same guys, and out of that sprang a conversation about my childhood imprisonment, and that eventually became our musical. We've made a musical out of a very dark chapter of American history, and some of the production numbers are organic to what really happened behind in those barbed wire prison camps. My father organized a baseball team to just keep the morale going, you know, because people were depressed and despondent. And we had the teenagers were allowed to have dances once every couple of months after in the mess hall after dinner. And we built a musical number about that. And so it's entertaining, but it's also deeply moving. And we wanted this story to not end with the closing of the show in 2016. So we filmed it so that the story is what's important, because it's an American story that affects the Constitution, which affects every American. So Americans need to know about this story, because it can be repeated again, and it is chillingly being repeated again at our southern borders.
George, when the war was over, how long before it was you and your family and people who were held in these prisons, did they start making noise about it and saying, by the way, this thing that you did was wrong. This was not right.
Well, the generation that my parents' generation, you know, that experienced it were impoverished. I mean, our first home after we were let go was on Skid Row because the hostility was still intense. And we had no money, and the hostility was there. Our housing was difficult. Finding a job was difficult. And our first home was on Skid Row. And for us kids, I mean, by that time, I was 8 and a half. I was 5 years old when we were rounded up. And the worst part of it for me as a child was, as my parents said, coming home, because Skid Row was so terrible. I mean, we got, children are amazingly adaptable. We adjusted to the routine and the regimentation, lining up three times a day to eat lousy food in a noisy mess hall, taking mass showers with my father. And so we adjusted to that. But coming home to the chaos and the sirens going all the time, derelicts all over, smelly, ugly, scary people fighting with each other or just leaning against the wall and glowering at us, or sprawled on the street, and the stench of human urine all over the place, in the hallways, and on the streets and alleyways, and sirens shrieking day and night. I mean, that was terrifying for us. And for my parents' generation, just to get back on their feet was horrible. But my generation in the 70s, we began a movement to get an apology and redress for that imprisonment.
Right.
And in 1988, I mean, more than 40 years after our imprisonment, Ronald Reagan formally apologized for that unjust imprisonment.
Well, as a legacy project, it must, I mean, to actually see it done, to work with it as long as you did, and to have this going on is great, and to know that you can extend its reach with this screening has got to be wonderful for you. So we're definitely going to look out for it.
And we built a... So, you know, the musical has been screened in 2016 and 17. This is the third time around, but there's still a lot of people who haven't seen it. So we're screening again on December 11th. But tomorrow night, December 4th, we're premiering a documentary on the making of Allegiance.
Okay.
And that'll be shown for the first time tomorrow night.
And I've got the select theaters. I'll make sure I mention that. We know you have to run, so I'll do it after we wrap the interview up. But it's intriguing stuff, and it's great that this project you know is has been able to live on and approach people in different ways as well. So, but George, if you come back to Philadelphia, we'd love to have a sit down and a longer conversation with you sometime.
We'd love to do that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, George Takei. All right, you live long and prosper. You are the man. Thank you very much, George Takei. I love that he threw that in there. So it's going to be showing at, and this is tomorrow at, oh no, this is December 11th I have the listing for.
December 11th is the actual Broadway show, and tomorrow night is the documentary.
Correct. So the Broadway show on December 11th will be at the Regal Riverview, the Regal Moorestown, AMC Plymouth Meeting, Regal King of Prussia, AMC Neshaminy, Regal Warrington. Looks like all the Regal theaters that Oaks, Burlington, Brandywine, Town Center,
the Regal Oxford Beagle. Valley.
The Regal Beagle. Which hopefully Jack and, you know,
Chrissy
and all be there.
Maybe even Mr.
Roper.
Roper. Or Furley. I like them both.
Both are big movie fans.
They are. All right, B-File stories. Let's get to them now.
WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
This morning is brought to you by Star Restaurants. Everybody is a star. This holiday, treat them to their favorite dining experience. Purchase a gift card at any Star restaurant or visit them online at Star, with two R's, StarGiftCards.com. A York County police officer who shot and wounded a man earlier this year is facing some charges. Court documents say that he thought he was using his taser. And the main reason I have this story is because the quote at the end. So, Officer Stuart Lee Harrison thought that he had reached for his taser instead of his firearm when he shot a suspect in the backseat of a police cruiser. Court documents say Harrison realized his mistake after he heard the sound of the gunshot. Harrison faces a single count of simple assault. Now, the state police say that prior to the shooting, Ryan Shane Smith entered the Santander Bank. He demanded $500,000 from a teller, but was told that he didn't have an account with the bank or the proper identification to withdraw money. He threatened the bank employees and refused orders to leave, police said. Harrison and other officers tried to get Smith out of the bank peacefully, but he wouldn't cooperate. He said officers tried unsuccessfully to stun Smith with their tasers several times, finally taking him into custody. They struggled to get him seated in the back of the patrol car, and Harrison decided he was going to try using his taser on Smith's thigh to get him to comply. Officer Harrison stated that he then placed what he thought was a taser against Smith's right thigh and pulled the trigger. He stated that as soon as he heard the sound, he knew it wasn't his taser. Officer Harrison then reholstered his firearm. He stated that after the gunshot, Smith sat in the car and asked Officer Harrison, "Hey, dude, why'd you shoot me?"
Yes, I think I would ask that as well.
And so he's facing a charge over that, but I just thought...
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that, dude. Indian police are investigating a skeleton smuggling gang. Ooh. After a man was caught with skulls and bones of 50 different people on a train.
Wow.
Police arrested the suspect.
So you have to buy tickets for all of them?
The suspected corpse smuggler at a railway station. The arrested man, identified as Sanjay Prasad, was carrying 16 human skulls and 34 skeletal remains in his luggage, and was traveling from where police say he was headed for the border.
That was my skull.
Police suspected...
Whose skull is this?
That the skeletons, apparently... I lost my place.
Skulls.
Police suspect that the skeletons...
Indian guy, bad.
...were then meant to be smuggled to China.
With the purpose and purpose of what?
Well, Mr. Prasad was part of a gang who supplied human skeletons to tantrics and occultists in the Himalayan kingdom. They also claimed that there was a huge demand for skeletons among medical students in China. He has been sent to jail while further investigations were on to trace his accomplices. It is unclear how Mr. Prasad was alleged to have obtained the skeletal remains. While grave robbing in poor areas is not unheard of, it usually takes place in Muslim or Christian communities as Hindus favor cremation. So they're not sure where he got the bones of 50 people.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. The California Highway Patrol on Friday pulled over a Tesla Model S that was driving down the road, but whose driver who appeared to be asleep at the wheel. The vehicle was traveling on Highway 101 in Palo Alto. Officers said that they were unable to get the man's attention. One of the officers basically ended up going in front of the vehicle, and they tried to slow it down. The process took about 7 minutes, and the car traveled for about 7 miles before coming to a stop.
So what was it, in autopilot mode?
They assumed that. The driver was Alexander Samick, who serves on the Los Altos Planning Commission. He was arrested for driving under the influence. The theory is that the Model S had its autopilot system turned on, but officials said on Friday that they hadn't confirmed that yet. It's quite possible that autopilot saved his life. The situation is a bit of a puzzle because autopilot is supposed to detect if a driver's hands are on the wheel and disengage if they are not. Tesla has steadily tightened up these rules with recent revisions of the software, warning drivers in as little as 30 seconds. So if the driver did fall asleep at the wheel, the car should have started slowing down on its own within a few minutes. So they don't know exactly what happened.
Wow. Yeah,
but
that
I didn't
is pretty
realize
long.
That your hands had to be on the wheel for that to be in autopilot mode.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, which is kind of wild. I've heard stories of people like taking a nap or whatever. Well, you know that you're not supposed to do that. But let me ask you. Is he driving while intoxicated if he's technically not driving?
That's a good question. And that might be, I would think so. He's in the seat. So,
right.
You know, that may be what the law says. I'm not 100% sure. But we have to wrap it up there. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Going to take one more break. Come back in a second. We'll get to the lesson question. See if you've been paying attention. Got some giveaways in conjunction with that, as well as the trash and music news coming up next. Stay with us.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
I tell you, there's nothing wonderful about getting up, leaving an RV, walking across to the car, driving to take a shower, and then come back. It's no matter what the weather's like, it's a little annoying.
Yeah, but back in the confines of home and back in our wonderful studio here in Ballykinwood. And by tomorrow, we should have all of the totals and information for a full-on recap and wrap-up of the Camp Out for Hunger. But thanks again for everything last week to everyone. And we'll do more of that tomorrow. Next on the agenda is the Preston and Steve Christmas Miracle.
Oh, boy. We just love to stack them, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Probably tomorrow we'll start doing some giveaways, I think.
Well, we don't want to say improved because it's been running pretty well, but it's newer and bigger. Let's say that.
Yeah, Parks Casino inside the new Excite Center. We've never done a show from inside this venue, so we're excited about the possibilities of that. And this will be the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. So if you do make it on board... make sure you wear an ugly sweater, and you might end up getting some extra prizes. In fact, if you go to WMMR.com and click on events, there are some details, including a list of Miller Lite ugly sweater pre-parties with specials and ugly sweaters to win. And Marissa will host a final pre-party in December with 10 seats to give away to join us on the 20th. So listen up for the information on all of that. Going to do a lesson question today. Let's see what we have to give away. A pair of tickets to see Penn State face Ivy League foe, the Princeton Tigers, for the 6th annual Philadelphia College Hockey Face-Off. And that's at the Wells Fargo Center. It's going to be Saturday, December 15th. So the question that I have for you this morning...
is, yeah, let's do this. How much does a deer pay to use the easy pass at the Mid-County tolls of the PA Turnpike? 215-263-WMMR. How much does a deer pay to use the easy pass at the Mid-County tolls on the PA Turnpike? 215-263-WMMR. Let's even know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Worldwide Stereo. This year, get a gift they'll remember. See Worldwide Stereo's awesome gift guide at worldwidestereo.com or head to their stores in Montgomeryville and Ardmore. What's happening, Steve?
Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson responding to recent allegations of sexual misconduct with a number of women over the years. Tyson says he believes in each case there was a misunderstanding over his request to, quote, see Uranus.
Oh my God.
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie announcing a last-minute custody agreement that will avoid a lengthy court battle. According to early information, Brad will reportedly only get to keep the kids whose names he can pronounce. And finally, less than brilliant Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte and his wife are expecting their second baby next summer. Lochte is especially thrilled this time around since he now realizes that babies are young people instead of, quote, vagina elves.
Oh, my God.
And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right. Let's see if we can find somebody who knows the answer to this question. How much does a deer pay to use the easy pass to the Mid-County tolls of the PA Turnpike? Brian was our caller. I'm going to go to him. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, man. All right, what does a deer pay at the Easy Pass?
Would that be a buck?
A buck.
Yeah!
Yeah, hang on, Brian. Got it right, and we are going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see Penn State face Ivy League foe the Princeton Tigers for the 6th Annual Philadelphia College Hockey Faceoff at Wells Fargo Center on Saturday, December 15th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets start at $20 and WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. Let us do the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, Music News this morning is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. New handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2 from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Just a few things for you this morning. Let us go with Slipknot and Stone Sour. Frontman Corey Taylor has slammed Maroon 5 lead singer Adam Levine over comments that the latter made about the current state of rock music. Levine told Variety in a recent interview, rock music is nowhere, really. He said, I don't know where it is. If it's around, no one invited me to the party. All of the innovation and the incredible things happening in music are in hip-hop. It's better than everything else. Hip-hop is weird and avant-garde and flawed and real, and that's why people love it. Asked about Levine's remarks by a fan on Twitter, Taylor responded, just because you claim you have moves like Jagger doesn't mean you come anywhere close to rocking like Jagger. He said, tell that schmuck to go back to the effing voice.
Oh, all right.
So it sounds like they're friends.
Well, it's true that hip-hop and rap officially have overtaken rock when it comes to streams and sales. It's arguable whether Maroon 5 can even be considered a rock band or comment credibly on that particular
genre. I always
genre.
Classified them as thrash metal.
Hey, yeah. Now, they're a pop band.
Yeah.
You know. Nick just pulled this up, and I'm glad you did. I didn't have this information, Nick. Apparently, Queen and Adam Lambert have announced 2019 North American tour dates, and it looks like Philadelphia is going to fall in there.
Yeah, why not take advantage?
Saturday, August 3rd at the Wells Fargo Center. That's fantastic. I got to take my son to see.
But they're now called Quambert.
Quambert. Oh, I did not know they've changed the name.
I think the Wells Fargo Center on their Instagram page, they announced when their tickets are going to go on sale as well.
Okay, well, that's cool. It's on a Saturday,
yeah.
So I dig that fact. But I'd go see him. I'm a Brian May fan, so I would. Yeah, I mean, listen, Adam Lambert, I'm sure he does a great job. Nobody can live up to Freddie Mercury. I'm sure he knows that more than
yes,
anyone.
Yes, of course.
But I would still like to go see that.
From what I heard, people have seen that incarnation of Queen with Adam Lambert say he does a great job. So,
Marissa?
Yeah, I went to see it last year, and Adam Lambert respects all the members of the band and let them highlight themselves. And then a few songs, they let Freddie sing. Okay. Oh, right. Video. Like, they he won't video? Even touch him. Yeah. Okay. But the... they bring him up from life. No, but, and just the stage presence and the costumes and, like, the contraptions that he dances on and rides on. It's amazing.
You know what? That would be... That's cool that they do the video thing. And if you're going to do it that way, in having it be featured a couple of times, if they could pull off that hologram thing... That would be pretty spectacular to see.
I've seen some very cool... What was the most recent one that I saw that was pretty mind-blowing? It might be at a Las Vegas... Well, it was Elvis, I think.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it was... It looks pretty freaking cool, you know? If you could do... And have Freddie Mercury walking back and forth across the stage.
Yeah, that'd
be really cool. Not a real big fan of Adam Lambert, but I honestly, I don't know. Well, who was it, Paul Rogers?
Yes.
He used to do the stuff with Queen?
Yeah.
I don't know of any other singer... That would be a better fit.
Only Luke Spiller, right? I mean, he's got
more of the mannerisms and the look, and
but he's busy. He's doing his own tour.
Yeah, I would have to hear him singing those vocal parts. He could do a version of it. But
what about Richard Marx?
Richard Marx might not be busy right now. He could he could step right in. You know,
I mean, Marx and Mercury. Yeah. They both have M's.
That's true. That's true. All right, and then one last story. It is hard to believe, but rock and roll's Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne, is 70 years old today.
Wow.
The father of heavy metal and Black Sabbath frontman never anticipated such longevity, figuring that he'd succumb to his rock and roll excesses long before he was eligible for Social Security. Listen to this quote. I love it. He said, "Let me tell you, when I was 20, I was going, you know what? I'm going to die by 40. And that was all right. Until I was 39 and a half.
I told you, I always, for some reason in my mind, I had 44, that I would not live, you know, past 44. For some reason, I was kind of cool with it, but I've beat it.
Although he's threatened to retire before and says his current No More Tours 2 trek will be his last lengthy global tour, Ozzy said not long ago that he has no intention of calling it quits. He said, "I don't want to stop, you know. It's been the biggest love affair of my life." When you reach a certain age in rock and roll, people think, well, this has got to be his last tour, or this has got to be his last tour, or you've even... I just said that.
It's got to be his last tour.
Well, he's old, and he repeats himself.
It's written here twice.
This is my last tour, and it's my last tour, and it's my last tour.
He said...
And it's my last tour.
You've got to come next Tuesday, because he ain't going to do it after that.
And let's go. Matlock is on.
He said, "You'll know when I've come off the road permanently. I mean, you'll know." He was born in the Aston district of the gritty industrial town of Birmingham, England. One of six kids, by the way. He dropped out of school at the age 15, started working as a laborer, plumber, toolmaker, and slaughterhouse worker. He also spent a few weeks in prison after getting arrested for burglary. I believe that's where his Ozzy tattoos came from on his hand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he later formed a band with classmate and guitarist Tony Iommi. That group was originally called Earth, and it became Black Sabbath, completed by drummer Bill Ward and Geezer Butler on the bass. Sabbath became hugely successful with albums like Paranoid, Master Reality, and Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. Ozzy left Sabbath in 1979, embarked on an even more successful solo career with albums like Blizzard of Oz, Diary of a Madman, and last year's Black Rain. So he celebrates his 70th today.
I mean, they created a sound. I mean, yeah, they created an edgier, ballsier sound than I remember, like, Black Sabbath and Ozzy were pinning the needle. That was an extreme side of rock at that time.
I was a little scared of them.
Yeah.
To be honest. And they had already been well established by the time I started to grow up and, like, my buddy's older brother loved Sabbath and started playing it.
Right.
I'm like, this is scary stuff here.
The devil knows who you are now.
I mean, songs like, you know, Rat Salad and War Pigs and
Rat Salad.
So yummy, good. Yummy. Rat Salad. Knew I would. Rat Salad for dinner or lunch.
And Sweet Leaf. And, you know, it was dark. It the Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is a messed up song. It just sounds gloomy, you know, but there was a time when I really got into it, and they created that metal sound. So.
Or Possum Ambrosia is one of my favorite songs that they do.
Excellent.
So it's called
awesome ambrosia.
I haven't heard Rat Salad in ages. I couldn't even tell you the melody to that. Maybe it is Rat Salad.
It's yummy, yummy. Rat Salad.
Rat Salad.
So much funny.
Yeah. Anyhow, Ozzy celebrates his 70th, and I'm sure Pierre will take a walk down the timeline of Ozzy, or at least some of his favorite songs.
Did you ever hear the interview with Pierre and Ozzy? It was right when the Osbournes, right before the Osbournes debuted. And I had just started working for Pierre. It was a fascinating interview, but Sharon was here as well. And so Pierre had gotten wind of the Osbournes TV program that was about to debut. And so he asked him about it. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't do an Ozzy impression. He's like, I don't know. And Sharon's like, the cameras, Ozzy. They've been all over the house. Like he was
so sedated.
Oh my god! Seriously,
it was typical Ozzy. It was a genuinely sweet moment, and she was just telling him what everybody else knew about that he had already gone over his head.
Here we got rat salad.
Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Rat salad, yummy, yummy. Rat salad, yummy, yummy.
Yummy, 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 yummy. That's a good song.
It's a classic.
It's like a ghost, isn't it? Rats.
All right, there you go. So we got a music news for you. Let's take another break. Come back in a second. Get ready to wrap things up and hand it over to Pierre. We shall return in just a moment or two. Stay where you are.
The 2019 concert season just got a lot bigger.
La, 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 la. No.
MMR rocks the Rolling Stones No Filter Tour, June 4th, outdoors at the Link. Tickets on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. Complete details at WMMR.com. The Rolling Stones and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Open up this nice gift. It was just delivered. This is from listener. Here it says, listener Katie Bones. Yeah, Katie Bones, and she is from Atglen, PA. You guys familiar with Atglen, PA?
Never heard of No. That is that Jenny's sister?
I don't know. And
all the bones?
She wrote all kinds of stuff on the side of this, and she made some hand-painted Christmas ornaments.
Do you think mine's hand-painted? Because it's amazing.
It's definitely.
Let me see it.
Because, Steve, mine is a painting of me.
Mine is Batman.
Yeah.
And Whoa. It says Steve on it.
That's my name.
Look at this. This is me. She painted that.
Oh, geez.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you can't just find that in the store.
No. That's unless they have paintings of me.
Yeah.
Hey, see, look at that.
These are really well done. She's too talented to listen to us.
Mine is a Bucks County Target bitch ball.
Bitch ball. I like that idea.
Mine is me in this gigantic fake fur coat. Casey and I both have them, and we wore them at the Eagles Super Bowl parade.
Wait a second.
But it's me holding a giant sword like in Game of Thrones, and she wrote Christmas is Coming in the Game of Thrones font. And that's talented because that looks like me.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's really well done.
What is her name? I just want to double check that she wasn't that artist that was a Not Your Average Listener.
Katie Bones.
Katie Bones. That's right, B-O-N-E-S.
At Glen is out past Coatesville, like past Parksburg, that area.
Okay.
I got a Harry Potter with his Patronus, which is a stag, which is pretty cool.
Oh, it's and it's
hand painted as well. I hate you so much, Kat. It's not a mountain.
What did she say?
She has just a zero imagination. And she's obnoxious.
I didn't hear it. Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Go back.
Casey got a hand painted seal. Delaware County seal?
Yeah, it's a seal of and an eagle's head.
That's cool.
That's really well done.
Thank you, Katie.
Really well done, man.
That was nice of you. We appreciate it.
And I don't think it was our Not Your Average Listener artist. Okay. I think it's someone else.
Now, do we bring these home and put them on our own tree, or do we put them on the Pierre Robert tree?
I don't know.
When are you decorating, Pierre?
Better ask Pierre.
Better.
How you doing, Pierre?
Good. Yeah, it's got to go to Moe's, but you turned it in
better as Pierre.
Better as Pierre. Better as Pierre. Pierre!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How you
Thank
do?
You very much.
Pierre Robert!
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because I have a
Santa.
Pierre took claws.
Made, it's kind of a interest. It's really cool, actually, with glitter. And it's a Pierre as Santa ornament.
Yeah, they painted the beer black.
Who, who, who?
And it was sent to me by Mary Connors in Abington. Thank you, Mary.
God, that's wonderful.
Yeah, very cool.
People are so nice and talented.
Yeah. They
but
are.
We're so miserable.
And
so,
kind to include us in their stuff.
A girl at the Camp Out for Hunger gave me an ornament. I took it home. It is I guess it's needlepoint or something along those lines. And it says, I have the need to eat pizza. And it's got a slice of pizza. And she made that for
Isn't
me.
Isn't that awesome?
It was really super nice.
A woman gave me a scarf that she hand knit, a wonderful cat person.
Cool.
She was actually part cat. No, just wonderful little gifts. We, you know, it's wonderful when people take the time to do that, and they're so generous.
Yeah, it was cool. Real quick, thank yous to our guests on the program. We had a professor at UPenn Wharton, Kevin Warbach, who stopped by and told us about his book, The Blockchain and the Architecture of Trust. It was nice to talk to him, try to explain cryptocurrency to us.
Turns out it has to do with wizards.
It does. Joe Matarese was here. Joe's got a stand-up show. It's at Saturday night, Cherokee High School. He's playing a high school. There's a reason behind that whole thing. But you can go to joematarese.com and get your tickets. It's 8 o'clock on Saturday.
He's the Hooters of comedy.
And the great George Takei, who was here, or at least gave us a call. And Allegiance to Broadway opens in select movie theaters nationwide tomorrow and also December 11th. So it was cool to talk to him. How was your weekend, Pierre?
Very nice, thank you.
Excellent, man.
And you? How did you guys go home and get rest? What do you do Friday night when you get home?
I just sort of hit the ground running. Like, when I got home, I went out. I took the dog out for a hike and just figured I'm going to shotgun this. I had tried to adopt the, you know, when you have a time difference, when you're traveling. It didn't work. I collapsed a house of cards around 9 o'clock that night.
What I really wanted to do on Friday, but I couldn't, was I wanted to go to, like, a Little League football banquet.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I didn't have one to go to.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wish you could have.
I really wish I would have done that.
Yeah.
I
had to do that Friday night. Okay. It was like, you know, I really wanted to do absolutely nothing at all. But my daughter cheers for a football club, and so they had their award banquet.
Is it impossible to be there through FaceTime? FaceTime daddy.
Even FaceTime would have been too tiring. Oh. But anyhow, I went, and it was lovely and everything. But nice. The rest of the weekend, I have not caught up. I feel out of sorts, and I have felt that way all day long today. So I'm hoping that...
And irregular BMs, right?
Yeah. Well, that was all week. But hopefully I will I'll get it back to together and be normal.
Thank you for sharing.
That's what we do. We share.
How about you? You were out there. You were yeah, you know, but, I mean, soldiering
nothing,
out there.
Nothing like what you guys do. You know, nothing like what you guys do. None of us. I mean, all of us go out there, and of course, I went out. I forgot to mention. I went out Thursday night for the big party, and I got there, and everyone had left.
What time? Did you get
it? Had to be after like
9:45. I don't know.
Well, yeah. You just missed it because Thursday night was packed this year.
It sounded so much fun. St. Bernard's and Jim Gardner and Mummers and everything else.
Yeah,
and by the time I got there, it was like Captain Dale and Rob sweeping up the confetti going, oh, you're not really here, are you? Please go turn around and go back. But Jackie was still on, so I came on with him for breaks.
That's cool. We've gotten, listen, over the years, we've realized in order for us to really be able to perform and do the show the next day, we got to shut it down.
Yeah.
We got to kick people out, unfortunately.
If we've been in there from 5:30 in the morning till 9:30, that's a good run of time. Yeah,
absolutely.
And then we take breaks, obviously, thanks to you guys.
Absolutely,
which keeps us sane, and that's why our voices are somewhat intact now. Is
you've
because
made great
of your
progress with that. By
absolutely,
the way.
Yeah. I went to a shaman who helps. No, it was a. Dr. Mike's Neil Med. You know, that saved my voice over the years.
Very cool.
You want to do the letter of the day?
Yes, I do.
Right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
D as in dragon.
All right, we have a 20-mile stock car driving experience. Whoa. You drive a 600-horsepower stock car on NASCAR's famous 2.5-mile super speedway at Pocono Raceway. and you'll suit up in an official race suit and get behind the wheel of a 160-mile-per-hour NASCAR-style stock car. When you start the engine, you'll know this is an experience of a lifetime. So we'll get to collect all the letters and give that away on Friday. Should be good. What's coming up on today's show, Pierre?
Well, as you thought I might, I shall indeed do a workforce block of Ozzy. I was just thinking we had a saying where one of our slogans was always rocked, always will, somewhere like, I don't know how many generations back that was. And the program director would always get mad at me because I would go, yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the radio station that has, in fact, always rocked and shall, indeed, always will. And he'd come in and go, don't say it that way. Always rocked, always will. Thank you.
Let me see. Afterwards, I'll try to guess the PD that said that.
We had to work. We'll have a workforce block of Ozzy. We shall have a workforce block of Stone Temple Pilots. And we will indeed have a workforce block of Bob Dylan because he opens the Met tonight.
Wow.
I was driving up on Broad Street last week, I think. And they're, you know, furiously finishing up the last details on the front of the building. But I can't wait to see the inside. And I think next week we'll broadcast from there. When Weezer is there, I'm going to do my whole show from there.
So, that's amazing. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Excellent. All right. Thank you to the sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. Our program today has been brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Park in 2017, Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer, and Wilmington University. Classes start January 14th. Visit wilmu.edu. Tomorrow we have a Tattoos Day planned. We're still working on other things, so we will get it together for tomorrow's program. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
11:30 at night is not the right time to be spotlighting and shooting deer in my field. Unless you got the deed, don't shoot the deer in my field.
Next message.
To everyone that's contributed and to the Preston and Steve Show and all the members of WMMR, thank you. I feed people that need food every day, and this is incredible. All of us are a part of this. This is what gets me in the Christmas spirit. It's all you guys, it's all WMMR, it's all the listeners. Thank you.
Next message.
Go away, you psycho Kardashian or whatever your last name is. You're going to screw up Ben Simmons' career. Don't do it.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.